much about. You gotta put it in perspective.
Kevin, do you happen to have any Christmas thoughts?
Sure. Christmas is an over-commercialized holiday that stores use to overcharge you for crap you don't need.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
VIG.
Yeah, Eric. Yeah, this is Mr. Khan, man. Listen, I want you to come to this holiday party with me, man. We've had some wrong parties in the past, so I want you to go to the second level of a broadcast building and meet me in the lobby, all right? We're going to have snacks and drinks and especially holiday cheer, all right? But we need some Dixie cups, man. We need plenty, all right? So go down to CBS and take care of that for me, all right? Yeah, man, a holiday party. This will tow.
And now.
Mayor, what do you and your family, what plans do you have for the holidays?
Oh, thank you very much. Happy holidays to you as well.
Thank you.
Our feature presentation.
Yeah, that went well, I think. I love those interviews.
Welcome to the, by the way, and what? How much bogusness is there that the Hollywood Christmas Parade already happened and hasn't been on television yet, and we weren't able to see some of the awesome interviews where the people who are being interviewed that are riding in the cars in the parade can never hear the people that are trying to talk to them.
Yeah, it's worse than anything we've ever done, and that's hard to say because we're low rent.
Right. There's nothing funnier than how often they try to talk to people in the parade who can't hear them. Yeah. It's Wednesday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Well, hell, it's Wednesday everywhere, but that's where we happen to be. And you can pick up the phone and give us a call if you want to be on the final Kevin and Bean What to Do Nephew for 2010. 1-800-520-1067. You've been sitting on something all year long. You've been wanting to say to us, today's the day to do it. Get on the air and get yourself a Kevin and Bean T-shirt just for your time as well. All right, since it's our last show for the year, I got to decide here. I'm not going to have time to do all the stories that I love so much.
Okay.
But I'll give you a choice of two right now.
All right.
Do you want to hear about the guy who figured out a way to crack the frequent flyer mileage so that he could fly around the world for $418? Do you want to hear about that guy?
Love him.
Wow.
Or do you want to hear about the Wisconsin postal worker arrested for delivering mail in the nude?
Oh, I have to choose.
Nude.
Yeah.
Gotta go with really? Nude. Really? Gotta go with nude?
Nude. Damn it.
This comes from Whitefish Bay, Wisconsin. There's a Wisconsin postal worker who says he simply wanted to cheer up a woman on his mail route who seemed stressed out.
Well, what did he decide to do, Bean?
Well, upon further review, the postal worker says that delivering the mail in the nude probably wasn't the best idea he'd ever had.
That's a lie, by the way, to cheer her up.
Of course
it
is.
I was just trying to cheer her up. Don't worry.
All right, Mr. Criminal Minds, what do you think was going on here? Was it actual sexual assault? Is that what you're suggesting?
Well, I'm suggesting he wanted to have a little sexy time, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Well, let's see what happened. A police report said the 52-year-old man told the woman he would deliver the mail to her office in Whitefish Bay completely naked to make her laugh. He said the woman dared him to do it, so he took the dare on December 4th and brought in the mail wearing only a smile. He was arrested for lewd and lascivious behavior several days later at the North Shore Post Office. The Journal Sentinel newspaper says the man admitted delivering the mail naked was a stupid thing to do. So it didn't sound like it was a sexy time at all.
She dared him.
He said, you look down. I'll tell you what. I'll bring the mail naked next time. And she said, I dare you to do that. So he did it.
All right.
And I say no harm, no foul in this instance.
I agree.
Don't you?
I don't know. I haven't seen him. I mean, you know, maybe that depends on.
Right, but she didn't say, oh, my God, that would be horrifying. Right. Please don't. And then he did it anyway. She dared him to do it. Kevin, you of all people have got to appreciate if somebody dares you to do it, you have to do it.
If that's the case, it's all good.
You'd be in jail right now.
Probably.
Yeah.
For all the dares? Yeah. So that, to me, I don't know. To me, that doesn't sound like sexy times.
No, you're right.
That was crappy of her. That was not very Christmassy.
That's funny time. You know what happens, though, is there are other people there, it turns out, and not everyone has the same sense of humor.
Yeah, that might be.
That's the problem.
But they should.
They should. Absolutely.
They should look at that and go, you know what? That's awesome.
1-800-520-1067 is the number. It's time to take your call.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do? What it do? What it do?
What it do, nephew?
What it do, nephew?
As mentioned, Kevin and Bean T-shirt is what you get for being on the air. Let's go to Danny. By the way, this is what happens when I didn't have the internet for a couple of hours yesterday. Danny is calling about something that I don't know about.
Oh, that drives Bean crazy.
It kills me. I hate it.
That's the difference between you and most of us is that we don't care. We'll go, oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But for, with Bean, he needs to know that.
Before anyone else.
It's personally insulting to me that somebody else knows something that I don't.
Right. Danny, hi.
What it do? What it do? What's up, guys? How you guys doing?
What's going on?
We're good. How are you?
You covered all your bases there.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Well, hey, I'm calling about that Lakers-Sasha thing. What, I don't really know about it, really, but it's something about Joe Smith coming over here or something.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about that?
We traded Sasha Vujacic.
When was that? Last night?
Well, it's been rumored for a long time. I think it was. I think they pulled the trigger today. I'm not sure. They did play yesterday, and somebody asked him about it. Maybe the day before. So it was either yesterday or today. But man, yeah, they're trading him away, and they're getting a big guy. Yeah.
You hate to lose a guy who's been part of championship teams, but they're, you know, that's the brilliance of a franchise is knowing when to trade somebody when you can still get something for it and upgrade a little bit because you can't keep the same guys forever.
Man, yeah. That guy's a good player, though. That's a good guy. It's coming, though. That guy's good, man.
Yeah, you know, he's one of those guys to me that is has amazing promise. Mm-hmm. Like, could be one of the greats, and on certain nights is, but not always.
But not consistent.
Never consistent, and, I mean, he could shoot like a crazy man, but then when he's off, I don't know.
But what about Sasha? Sasha never really busted out either, though.
Yeah, I'm talking about Sasha. The whole thing was about Sasha. So I'm kind of bummed that that the Lakers traded him, but what are you going to do? Need another big guy, you know?
It's all good, man.
Rest Powell.
I like it.
All right, so, you like it. What do the Lakers have in common with Psycho Mike? They both are looking for another big guy.
You want to try that again?
Thank you, Danny, for the courtesy laugh.
Yeah.
Have a great holiday.
Sorry, Dave was talking to me in my headset. I didn't hear.
Bean said, so much like Psycho Mike, the Lakers are looking for another big guy.
Ah.
See, because
I like
you
it.
Make...
That's, right.
Thank you.
Up.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
If I heard that, I would have laughed as well. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
I'll give it a try, but it sounds boring.
That's a good policy. Comedian Bill Burr will be in the studio.
Yeah.
That's what we like to do is we're not funny, so we like to prop ourselves up by bringing in other people that are funny.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can be funny, and then people think, hey, that Kevin and B, they're funny, but we're not. Andrew Siciliano will be here talking about sports.
Yeah.
We have a few top tens for you, top 10 drops of the year. And that just means sound clip.
Sound bites, yeah, sound bites.
Top 10 moments with.
Oh, I can't wait.
Those are hard to narrow down, aren't they?
We have so many.
Now, none of us are privy to the list. This was all Psycho Mike, you did the moments with, right?
Yes.
We need to wager before we start the bit how many of them are going to be Kevin's, how many are going to be Ralph's, how many are going to be Lisa's, how many are going to be Bean's.
And you want to do that because 9 of them are going to be me.
I don't know. You always surprise us. You have the reputation as being the guy who gets them all. But then, like last year, for instance, I had the number one moment with of the year. I had several in there last year.
But
you
there's a difference between number one and the most in the top 10.
Yeah,
right.
That's
you know
true.
What I mean? Like, I understand that.
I look at our list of moments with, and it's, I don't know, it's thousands long of me.
I was going to say, if we looked at the entire list.
And Lisa has like 4.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's depressing, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know who number one is.
I will say there will be some surprises again this year.
All right. Good.
Excellent.
Okay.
Good to hear. We're going to talk to the co-founder of a fantastic company that needs to take over the world called Hangover Helpers.
Oh, yeah.
And if you have a giant party, they'll come in the next day. And they'll make you some kind of greasy, good breakfast that will help the hangover. Mm-hmm. And then they'll clean your house.
Really?
Yes.
That's pretty great.
I guess we can ask them when I talk to them, but do they hide the bodies too? I mean, they go
I'm
that
not
far
sure
to
how
take
far
care
they
of
go.
Whatever the mayhem is after the party?
I'm not sure how far they go.
Okay.
That's a good question. We also have Christian Bale on the program today.
Yes!
Oh, good for you!
Oh, my God.
Talking about his movie, The Fighter, so we got that. We got the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. And we're going to call QVC and buy Lisa her Christmas gift.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Oh,
yeah.
I forgot. And that's like in 20 minutes or so. We could be out some big dough, right?
Yeah, so no one tell us what's on. Whatever's on at the time we call, that's what she gets. And most of the time, I got to be honest, it's crap.
It's crap.
And it costs nothing. So
I know that it's a funny ha-ha and everything like that that we do this. But the randomness is what puts the thrill into it.
Sure.
I am terrified that it's going to bite us in the ass one year. Is it we're going to call it just for some weird fluke. It's the Ford Focus Hour or something.
Yeah.
We don't see that coming. You know, I'm really, really terrified about that.
Wait, they don't have a Ford Focus Hour, do they?
I don't know what they have. Yeah. I don't ever watch QVC. But either. I'm just saying that we have no idea what goes on over there. And at the holidays, who knows if they have times where they're selling high-end stuff.
Right, but it's not like we had any kind of a pinky swear or anything, right? I mean,
you say
we said we'll buy whatever it is.
Right, that's the deal. Period. That's what makes it fun for everyone, Kevin. It's not fun if you back out when it's finally something decent instead of just a pile of crap.
It's fun.
Yeah, there's no bid if we call and then decide whether we're going to buy it or not.
You got to have a stake in it.
And a commitment.
I just don't like to make decisions in haste. That's all I'm saying. Let's just let it breathe.
You sound
20 minutes. 20 minutes. We'll find out.
All right. We're going to take a break and come back with the Ralph Showbiz Beat next.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for tuning in on a Wednesday. Linkin Park on the way. Also some Sublime and Florence and the Machine, who, by the way, I don't know about you guys, I just fell in love with all over again after seeing her at Acoustic Christmas this weekend.
Yeah.
Did you see the end of her set, Bean? Did they show that?
Yes. Yes, I did.
When she started doing her hit, the stage turned.
Yep, they played her off, basically,
right
is what happened.
Right in the middle of the song.
Get behind the clock, bitches.
It was great. I mean, it was great, but it was terrible because she'd flown like 30 hours to be there or something.
Aww. Yep.
And she got there late, so she was just trying. And then halfway through her song, they just said, all right, the stage is turning. See you later.
That's why they had Florence on the clock.
And I was impressed, based on the fact that she had flown 30 hours and gone directly from the airport to the stage, how poised she looked and how comfortable she seemed and how unbelievable she sounded, and then they played her off. So it was very funny. Anyway, get the Florence and the Machine album or you're bad. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph Garman joins us in studio now for our first look for a new day at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Before I get to Showbiz News, I do have some tickets to give away for tonight's advanced screening of Tron Legacy in 3D on the big IMAX screen. Oh, we're going to have a good time. We're going to be down in Irvine. If you'd like to come, I've got two pairs of tickets to give away right now. 1-800-520-1067. That is the number to call. First two lucky callers get a pair of passes to join me tonight to see Tron Legacy 3D, courtesy of our friends at Philips Norelco and their new Senso Touch 3D shaver. By the way, speaking of Tron, which stars Jeff Bridges, saw True Grit last night. It's awesome.
Good.
It looks so awesome.
It's amazing. It is a truly old-fashioned Western, and I mean that in the best sense of the word. It's not sort of, doesn't have a modern sensibility. It's not sort of a modern take on the legend. You feel like you are in the smelly, dirty, just pussy, infected, murderous,
whoa, I don't want to be
crippling
there.
Old West. Not a pretty time. That's all I'm saying.
The old West was a bad deal. It was not hygienic.
Not a lot of dental care going on there in the old West. No deodorants as far as I could tell. Not a lot of bathing.
Right.
Yeah.
With those folks. But Jeff Bridges is amazing in it, as is Matt Damon gives it a great performance. It's just a terrific film, so check it out.
How sad are you going to be when you wake up on Thursday and realize you don't have a new Jeff Bridges movie to go to that night?
You know what? There's still films of his I haven't even seen yet, so I'll just go into the back catalog and I'll nestle in with my Netflix and I'll just spend the holidays with Jeff.
Wow.
All right, let's talk about showbiz news. A lot of relationship news. Surprising, some of it, coming out yesterday. Scarlett Johansson and Ryan Reynolds are calling it quits.
You're kidding.
Yeah, after 2 years of wedded bliss. Oh. Well, they gave it a full shot.
They gave it a try. What's that about 2 years? 2 years? Come on.
They are ending their marriage, according to a mutual statement they released. Us Weekly magazine picked it up. But, wait for it, they plan to leave the relationship with love and kindness.
That's great.
Because you know why, Kevin? They're still the best of friends.
Mm-hmm. Because celebrities can do that.
Funny thing is, 3 months ago, Ryan Reynolds told an interviewer that his marriage was the best part of his life.
Mm.
3 months ago. What could have changed in 3 months, I wonder? Or could he have been lying?
Now, who knows?
Isn't the honeymoon period at least 2 years when you get married for most people?
That's the easy part.
That's the easy part, right? This is exciting. This is fun. This is new.
My guess is too much time apart.
Yeah, he's been working so much.
So is she.
Yeah.
They constantly are making movies, so if you don't spend some time together, it's kind of hard
to
forge that bond. Also divorcing, according
to
the...
forge that bond. You know what I mean?
You always thought he was the sexiest man alive.
I don't get that.
Wait, not him. Wait.
Also divorcing Nip Tuck star Dylan Wallace is leaving his wife of 6 years, Joanna Going. They have a 7-year-old daughter together, so that's kind of sad news. Speaking of babies, Jennifer Connelly and Paul Bettany have announced they're expecting another child. They have a 7-year-old son named Stellan together, and the actress has another boy, a 13-year-old named Kai, from a previous relationship. And so they're going to add another one to their brood. They seem like a real good couple.
They do.
They sure do.
The past couple Comic-Cons, I was able to hang out with Paul Bettany. He had two different films he was promoting, and she was backstage, and had a chance to chat with both of them a little bit. And they just seem like a really grounded, down-to-earth, nice couple of people. So it's nice to hear that they're expanding their family. And the Hulkster, Hulk Hogan, got married to his girlfriend, Jennifer McDaniels, last night in Clearwater, Florida.
Yes, I did, brother.
Speed's impression of the Hulkster for those of you that didn't know.
That's all I got.
Pretty strong. TMZ reports the wedding did not go off without a hitch, however. While the couple was exchanging vows at an intimate sunset ceremony, a family employee got into a fight with the paparazzi.
All right.
Punches were thrown, cops were called.
Nobody, it's a wedding.
Nobody decided to press charges, and they finished the ceremony. You know what? That's just a typical wedding in Florida, as far as I'm concerned. It's not a Florida wedding until someone gets a punch in the face.
Oh, sure. Were you involved in the fight, or just some of your people?
No, it wasn't me. I just hit a guy over the head with a chair.
Brother. You gotta say brother.
Brother.
Okay.
What are your plans for the honeymoon, Hulkster? Where are you guys gonna head off? What are you gonna do?
Just gonna hit my wife in the head with a chair, brother. Like I do. I'm a wrestler.
Those improv classes like are really paying off. you got a gift. Hey, you guys, I know Bean is all over the Twitter. Kevin, you don't tweet that much.
Not much, no.
I don't know how much time you spend on it, but...
when I do, it's only to make fun of Dave the King of Mexico.
Well, that's a worthy cause,
that's
by the way.
Only reason I tweet.
The Twitter folks follow what they call trends. You put something in your tweet, and then they are able to register how much that subject is being talked about, and they... You know, at the end of the year, we get all these top 10 lists, and they've released their list for the top 10 trending movies. These were the movies most people were asking about, talking about, including in their tweets when they posted their 140 characters. And here's the top 10 list of trending movies for 2010. Paranormal Activity 2 was 10th. Chronicles of Narnia came in at number 9. The Expendables was 8. The Twilight Saga, Eclipse, was 7. And I thought that would finish much higher.
Yeah. Too bad, no kidding.
The Last Airbender was 6th. I assume that was only people bitching and moaning that M. Night Shyamalan had ruined one of their favorite characters and properties.
How bad is this? That kind of thing?
Exactly. 5th was Karate Kid. 4th was Despicable Me.
Wow, which
by all accounts was a great film, but it doesn't seem like the kind of pop culture phenomenon that people would be tweeting about.
That is strange.
Not much buzz on that, you would think.
3rd was Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Okay.
2nd was Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, Part 1. And number 1, what do you think the most tweeted about movie was for...
Human Centipede.
Not the Human Centipede. Good guess,
I wish
though,
it were. Right? I have to guess Inception, just because that was so big.
Yeah, Inception was number 1. Most tweeted about film in 2010, according to the Twitter folks. Most American men probably wouldn't complain about having Megan Fox as their wife.
You think?
However, Brian Austin Green seems to be the exception.
What's he complaining about?
He,
too hot?
Doing an interview, and he said that Megan is a slob. He is a neatnik. He likes to keep things tidy. She leaves her crap all over the place. Sure, yeah. She leaves her incredibly sexy lingerie laying all over the floor. It just smells like cotton candy and Jesus.
Yeah,
he's got a problem with that.
Right. Isn't that fine?
Yes, it is fine. You know whatever she does? Fine.
You don't complain about that. Clean up if it bothers you, but...
He says they've gotten to more than just a few knockdown, drag-out fights about her picking up after herself.
Wow.
Really, Brian Austin Green? Really, bag?
Now, is there some psychology involved here? Maybe Psycho Mike, you would know. Do you need to keep a hot chick down a little bit by, you know, puncturing her self-esteem with issues like this?
I'd like to puncture Megan Fox, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but
you know
what I'm saying?
I puncture her.
I totally know what you're saying. I totally know what you're saying. I think a chick that hot, I don't know if that dents her self-esteem at all. She's like, yeah, so I'm a slob.
So pick up after me. Yeah. Just look at me.
Hey, you bag. Go pay someone to pick up my clothes. I'm Megan Fox in your bag.
Right. Don't forget, bag is the second half of douche. Bag. Now pick up my clothes. Do the shopping. Iron my dress. I'm going out tonight. And I'm bringing them home and you're going
right
to watch.
There, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Whatever she does. Right?
Fine.
Right.
Fine.
You have no choice. All right. I want to invite everybody to come out Friday night to the Universal City Walk John Lovitz Comedy Club. Kevin Smith and I will be doing our hilarious evening of comedy, Hollywood Babylon. Psycho Mike was there last week.
Yes.
Thanks for coming out, Mike. That meant a lot to me.
And I'm not just saying this because it's you, Ralph. It's a truly, truly fantastic way to spend your evening.
You're
Ralph and
very
Kevin
kind.
Are unbelievable together, and it's so weird seeing Ralph so happy.
That must be a strange sight for you folks who work with me here.
That's not what you told me.
And we're doing a New Year's Eve show, too. So if you'd like to come to the New Year's Eve show or this Friday show, go to babbleonralph.com and for all the details, and you can buy tickets there and stuff. And it's a good time.
Nope.
Lisa's been there. Mike's been there.
I have. It's
Dave,
really
King of Mexico's
totally
been there.
I recommend it.
All the important people have been there. So
now Kevin is there every week, though. He doesn't miss a performance, right?
Nope.
Kevin Smith
right.
is there every week.
Yeah. I was thinking Kevin Ryder. Yeah.
Oh, yes. I am at the improv. Where are you guys?
We get a text every Friday.
It's not his fault. You're not at the improv.
I'm driving the party bus.
They're never there.
Today's celebrity birthdays.
I wasn't driving the party bus.
Yeah, you are now. Today's celebrity birthdays. Flo Rida.
Yeah.
Is 50 years old today. Actor Adam Brody, who made his bones on The O.C., and he's been in a bunch of feature films and stuff since. He's 31 years old. Actor Stuart Townsend. Oh, Stu. Oh, Stuart.
Yeah.
Sad. I feel bad for him. I weep for him.
Yeah.
He, for those who don't know, was practically married to Charlize Theron. They lived together. They were basically husband and wife, and now that relationship is over.
Yeah.
He tried to get her to pick up after herself. That's why.
That's right. He's 38 years old today. Don Johnson.
There it is.
Kevin's favorite TV show of all time, Miami Vice, is 61 years old today.
How dare you.
And actor and comedian Tim Conway from the old Carol Burnett show is 77 years old today. Still funny. Did you see him on 30 Rock last season? No. I think it was. Did a very funny turn on that show. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Oh, I thought we were going to have time to call QVC here, but we're out of time.
Time.
No, we have
no,
a very,
we have time.
We got to prepare for Christian Bale coming up on the Kevin and Bean Show. We don't have time to make nonsense QVC phone calls for you.
It would be kinder on her if you didn't call. Why are you using this as some sort of burn?
All right, then we do have time.
That's what I'm saying. It's much worse for her if you do.
Every year at Christmas and for her birthday, this is what we do. We call QVC. We don't have it on. So we have no idea what they're selling. Whatever they're selling at the second that we get through, that's her gift.
Now, did this start because we had a year where her birthday crept up on us and none of us got her presents?
Probably.
Said, oh, let's just buy her something on the year. Is that what happened, Lisa?
I guess.
I would imagine that's probably what happened.
And what kind of gems, before we dial this year, what kind of gems have you gotten? Or have you not gotten any gems?
Gems in quotes.
Yeah.
One year I got gardening clogs.
Gardening clogs.
Well, at least it's not a glamorous gift, but it's a practical gift.
Correct.
Because I know you love to garden.
I live in a condo.
Yeah, well, you can go down to the condo.
I got a bath mat.
A bath mat.
Have you ever slipped on that bath mat?
No, I have not.
There it is. There
you're
you go.
Help to us.
You're welcome.
A phonics game, and obviously I'm very well spoken, so thank you for that.
Sure.
I got a cubic zirconium ring with three diamonds in it, and one of the diamonds fell out about a week later. Apollo 13 lunar module model.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Which I actually ended up trading.
And by the way, it was Apollo 11.
For karate. Okay,
oh,
that one.
Oh, wow.
And
Jesus Christ.
A do-it-yourself Tiffany lampshade kit, which I still have.
That's my favorite. And you haven't done it yet?
Not yet.
Okay.
It's in the closet.
I'll break my arm or something someday, and then I'll have it.
And that's when you want to do arts and crafts?
Or
when
my leg.
When you have your arm in a sling?
My leg. I don't know.
She's saving it for the good time.
Whatever the one that smoked. Remember there was one that smoked?
Oh, it was a roaster.
Yeah.
It was a roaster.
Caught
and
on
I plugged
fire.
It in and it immediately started smoking.
That was my favorite one. I love the shoddy electronics. Yeah, that's always a good time.
That is good.
So. All right, well, let's dial it up. The rule is we buy whatever they're selling right now. None of us have it on the TV, so this could be a new car.
Or
it could be a dust buddy. We have no way of knowing, but let's find out.
Hand like towels.
Charlie
hand towels.
Brown, you know.
I'm guessing hand towels.
And tells, oh, that would be the best, wouldn't it? Hi, ma'am. This is Kevin and Bean. We're on the air at K-Rock in Los Angeles, and we would like to buy a gift for a coworker. Is that okay?
Good morning. Oh, absolutely.
All right.
Absolutely.
Good. Thank you, ma'am.
Here's what happens, ma'am. We call every year to QVC. We're big fans of the network, but we don't have the channel on in the studio when we call, and we have committed to our friend Lisa, who does traffic on the show, that we will buy her whatever you are currently selling. And I'm very nervous as I ask this question.
Oh,
but
don't ask me that right now.
Yes!
What are you selling her right now?
What
right
is
now?
Her Christmas gift?
Oh.
Okay, I'm supposed to tell her right now?
Yes,
please. Yes, ma'am.
Well, we're going to buy it. We've got an account. We're ready to go.
All righty, let's go see what's on the air right now.
This doesn't sound promising.
Well, she did.
No, it is promising. Okay. Hang on one sec.
The way you said, don't ask me to tell it, we thought it was something.
No, I'm trying to get to it. It's not telling me what's on.
That's
right
okay.
now.
That's okay. No rush. Take your time.
You
take your time.
You're fine.
Hey, hey, listen, if nothing's on.
That's right. That's our fault.
That's the gift.
On, Kevin.
No, she's going to be thrilled, actually. Oh. I just got to get on there and show what's
okay.
on right
okay.
now.
All right.
Take your time. You're fine.
Are you
You're
ready?
Fine.
Yes.
Yes. We're ready.
Okay, hold on.
Are you ready? More importantly.
I'm a nervous wreck. Are you kidding
don't
me?
Don't be. This
don't
is,
be nervous. This is all fun.
Dinky little radio show. You're fine.
And we appreciate your help very much.
No problem. She's going to get the QVC Today's Special Value. It's a TomTom GPS with lifetime bags and beanbag mount.
Wow, a GPS. Wow. You know, she's a traffic reporter,
I
and we're
am.
Giving her a TomTom. That's unbelievable.
That's actually really good.
Wait a minute. A really good gift.
Hold on. How much is it?
It's
$149.80.
Whoa!
Finally.
Thank
That's
you.
That's the most
Ms.
we've ever
QVC?
Had to spend.
And who gets lost more than Lisa?
It's the perfect gift, really. It's the perfect gift.
Wow.
That is
what?
Cool.
What else do you have?
No,
that's it.
Case?
I'm sorry, what?
The TomTom case? That comes with it if you want. It's additional, but that way it holds the GPS, so
okay.
that way it doesn't get scratched.
I think I need that.
I think so too.
Do you have one covered with diamonds?
No, I don't.
Wow, okay. So
that's
she
pretty
gets
good.
And what's on right now?
That's
what's on right now.
Yes.
What's happening is they show a TomTom, and you said at that point, and that was a TomTom, and
right.
then they switch throughout the hour.
Right, so
you
okay.
get different things.
Is it different right now?
No, that's what she
I'm
gets.
Just
Kevin.
Asking.
Yeah, you said what's on that.
No,
moment.
You were absolutely right, ma'am.
You're doing it right.
Kevin is just cheap, and he's trying to get out of a good gift. That's
yes.
Oh, my goodness. All right, hon, can I have your phone number?
All right, we're going to put you on hold. Our producer, Alex, is going to pick up and give you all the information, account number, the whole deal.
Okay, well, you guys have a great day.
Thank you, too.
And Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you. We appreciate your help.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Wow.
GPS. You know,
and thank you.
Wow.
Lisa, you don't have one, right? You don't have a GPS. This gift is so good that if I had thought of it and realized that you didn't have one, I would have gotten it for you for Christmas.
That's
unbelievable.
I just love seeing you spend money.
I don't care what it is.
This is a Christmas miracle.
It really is.
This is like the Grinch's heart growing three sizes or Ebenezer Scrooge getting visits from the ghost. This is going to be told to children 50 years from now.
Going down to the annals.
It's one of those classic Christmas stories.
I'm not sure it's that strong.
Most of the time when we call, it's about a $19 item. So
yeah.
The fact that it's $150, Lisa doesn't care. It could be elephant poop. It's as long as it's expensive.
All right.
So thanks, boys. I appreciate it.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
Christian Bale on the program next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, we continue with our top tens of the year 2010. The top tens moments with of the Kevin and Bean Show. Those are just brain farts where you can't believe we're paid to be professional broadcasters because of how lean we are. And also the top 10 sound bites of the year coming up in about 10 minutes. First, though, look, we see a lot of ideas. We talk about a lot of businesses that people start up on this program. This may be the one that I would most want to invest in. This is awesome. HelpingHangovers.com. These are the people that you call to bring you food, to get you less drunk, and to clean up your apartment after the big party. Sounds like a genius idea. Let's find out about it from one of the co-founders. Mark is on the phone from HelpingHangovers.com. Hey, Mark, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Good. How are you?
We're good. This is one of those ideas where we read it and then we say, it's not possible that this is the first guy that came up with this idea because it's so obvious.
Yeah.
How did we not think of it? You know what I mean? And it's a fantastic idea. To your knowledge, is this the first one?
To my knowledge, this is the first one. And there might be other ones that were small and maybe just lasted a year or two, but to my knowledge, this is the first one that has gotten this much press and is this well known.
Yeah. And a great name, too, Helping Hangovers. It's kind of obvious what you do, but for folks who haven't put two and two together, describe what the service offers, Mark.
So what we do is we come over to students' houses after a party, and we clean up their house, give them a grilled burrito and an ice-cold Gatorade.
A grilled burrito and an ice-cold Gatorade. Okay. So that takes care of that part of
right,
the hangover.
Right, that sounds good.
All right.
And
then?
Well, as far as cleaning goes, it's not deep cleaning. What we do is just clean up their house, their store, to how it was before the party. Just red cups, beer bottles, stuff like that, pots and pans, dishes and stuff.
So you take out all the trash, do the dishes, you know, mop or vacuum or whatever, and basically just pick up so that it's presentable again.
Exactly. And looks
It's the best idea ever.
How long, by the way, the delicious warm burrito, I can't get out of my head. That I want to call you just to bring over a burrito for $15. Are you kidding me? How long has the service been up and running, Mark?
We're at about a month now. So
okay.
We launched about 4 or 5 weeks ago, started advertising, and about how long?
So do you have a lot of work? Are you staying busy?
Oh, we're staying busy. This last weekend was slow. All the students were studying for finals, but starting today, tomorrow, and through the weekend, we'll expect business to pick up.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. So where is the service being offered right now? Where geographically?
Right now, we are located in Boulder, Colorado.
Okay.
That's where we've started, and, I mean, we plan to expand because it looks like, I mean, this is something that can be replicated throughout the country, so we're looking to franchise and license it starting next year and even in next semester in the fall. So
that should totally happen on every campus in the country.
I agree. Yeah, I just see guys out there in the, you know, the helping a hangover van, just going from dorm room to dorm room, just cleaning up or something.
How much would it cost to just have that van follow me around?
Kevin needs it pretty much every morning. Is that possible?
Every morning.
Just make it a regular appointment with him? So it's only $15 per roommate. That's all. And you can make money off of that? That sounds pretty reasonable.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of our introductory price. It seems fair for now. We're trying to get something that students are willing to pay for, and we think that they could use it on a little bit more of a regular basis than having it really expensive where they only use it once in a while.
Right.
Yeah. That makes sense. I mean, honestly, yeah. I mean, if you're living in a dorm, you got, there's three of you living in a dorm, it's $45 to have the place cleaned up and you get breakfast and, you know, get rehydrated with Gatorade. I mean, that's a great deal. That's something you'd use every weekend.
Exactly.
All right. Now let's talk about fluids. Let's say, for example, that there's beer that's spilled on the carpet. Is that like something you do, or is that something that's a little more intense?
I mean, we can try and like clean up a little bit, but we're not doing deep cleaning.
You're not doing deep cleaning. Okay. What about blood? Let's talk about blood.
would you move a body, or is that going out of your area?
Will you take a body out to the trash can?
I can't talk to you about that.
Okay, so yes, but you can't say yes.
For a big tip.
Okay, yeah. That's a service that can be negotiated afterwards. Well, you got to go to the website and check it out. And, God, I only hope it gets to where our listeners are right now. We're not on in Colorado, but we got people all over the country right now who are hearing about this going, man, please come to my town because it's a great idea. HelpingHangovers.com is the site. Mark, thanks a lot for coming on, man. Have a happy holiday.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on, and you have a good one.
Thank you.
Congratulations to Robert Squillis from Covina. Just got
not
the
a real name.
Linkin Park tickets from the world famous K-Rock. It is 6:34.
Thanks for tuning into the Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday. By the way, everyone else have a grilled cheese sandwich right now, or is it just me?
That's just you.
Oh, really?
Very seldom Bean actually pulls off a burn, and where you have something
that actually does
one,
work.
Though. The rest of us want. Yeah,
grilled cheese sandwich sounds pretty good right now, right?
Yeah.
All right. This is getting very close to the end of the year here, and we have been counting down top tens on the Kevin and Bean Show. You got to go to kevinandbean.com because we post all this stuff up for you. For instance, top 10 internet roundups we did a couple of days ago. These are the most popular videos on the Kevin and Bean internet roundup all year long. For instance, we did that.
All the good ones.
Got the top 10 moments with coming up, which is just verbal fails that we have on this program. We got that on the way. Top 10 Omar intros, which I couldn't believe.
that we've actually played
on this show. And today we're ready for the top 10 sound bites of 2010. Now, these are little pieces of audio that we play, and sometimes we just fall in love with them, and sometimes we just can't stop playing them. And they're the ones who have that have entertained us the most throughout the past 12 years.
That's bullshit.
That's a perfect example of a soundbite. It did not make it. It was not eligible for 2010.
Yeah, it's been around for too long, but yeah.
But let's take a look at some of the ones that did. Number 10 on the list this year, our old friend, Listener Doto, the international man of mystery, who is just a gem every time we have him on the phone. He apologized to us repeatedly about something, I don't know what, and we fell in love with this soundbite.
How's Taco Bell going to make money off of that?
That's not the right one.
Wow, that doesn't sound like Doto at all.
Here's Doto.
I'm sorry.
So, that was Doto at number 10. Number 9, well, it's Charles Barkley with a question that we've asked hundreds of times on the air this year.
How's Taco Bell going to make money off of that?
I never get enough of that. Our friend Louis Black is at number 8. He weighed in with, I think, an important word about technology.
If you're Twittering,
you. And we had, because Twitter exploded so big this year, we had a lot of occasion to bring Lewis Black into the conversation with that. Number seven, Kevin, I know you're going to be very depressed to know that tomorrow night is Larry King's last night.
Oh, don't tell me that. He's just now getting super crazy.
Yeah.
He is starting to get crazy. He's starting to get sloppy. He's starting to do things that he never would have done back when he wanted to be taken seriously.
Oh.
But number seven of our soundbites of 2010 is Larry King as the unlikely musical superstar that he is.
Poker face. Poker face. Mmm. 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 Poker face. Poker face. Mmm. 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 Mmm.
What's the mumma mumma? What is that?
I guess he's trying to copy what Lady Gaga does in her song, but I don't know what it is. It doesn't sound like that.
Wow.
I know that. And somewhere is there a guy who's the president of the news division of CNN who goes, that guy's on our air.
Yeah, you would think, right?
He speaks for us around the world for an hour a night.
Yeah. And
doing that?
Yeah, I'm just now starting to love him.
Because he's turning into a grandpa with Alzheimer's.
Yeah, exactly.
Number six, and I hate to bring this one to you. I'm actually personally very depressed about it, but there's no way we could get away from including this in our top 10 soundbites of the year. This was a comment that was left on the Afro line. We didn't start it, but we could not stop it. Hundreds of times listeners called and ended their Afro line calls with this.
With doo-doo on it.
Now, I don't know how that got started. I don't know why. I know I hated it from day one.
You know what happened, I think, if I'm remembering correctly, is that guy called every day for months. And Omar, who goes through those, would just delete, delete, delete. And then at some point, he was fascinated by the fact that the guy didn't give up. And he just kept
such commitment.
Right. So then he started,
for Omar.
Then he started saving each one. And then finally he came to us. He said, I got about a month of this guy. It was the most bizarre thing.
But then when all the listeners started piling on it, they all started doing it.
That's when it got good.
I hated it so much.
I know. That's why it was good.
That was number six. Now, number five is interesting because this turned into a nationwide catchphrase. This is something that Ralph Garman started during his Showbiz Bee that became so popular that got him cast in a television show that aired around the world called Sharktopus. So it went from being something that he said on our show to something that he said on the TV, that's something that he'll, you know, he'll say on the home video as long as you own it. And, of course, it was,
damn you, Sharktopus!
I mean, it was almost just a goof when he started it, you know? And then the next thing you
not
know,
he
gets cast in the movie and he gets killed by the Sharktopus. But that's damn you, Sharktopus, number five. All right, number four. I think if Psycho Mike were making this list, this would have been the number one.
Oh, yeah.
From the trailer of a movie that hasn't been made yet, we're praying for at the end of next November.
White meat, dark meat, all will be carved.
Thanksgiving, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving is going to be the best.
You'll come home in a body bag.
In a body bag. Hey, they made the Machete movie.
I'm
sure they're going to make the Thanksgiving movie, right?
I hope so.
Number three, and I had a lot of trouble choosing because Mel Gibson just exploded onto our radio show this year. And we almost, I mean, for a couple of months there, Mel Gibson had a comment about everything.
Remember, every single day there was new tape
for
weeks. Yeah. And minutes and minutes and minutes of new tape. But I think if I had to sum up the phenomena of Mel Gibson screaming at Oksana, his baby mama, on the phone with just one soundbite, it would be this one coming in at number three.
You should just smile and me,
because
I deserve it.
Mel seemed happy.
Good
at
choice.
That time.
Good choice.
I don't know anybody when pushed to however far you're pushed that would say that.
I know.
It's crazy.
Number two, best Kevin and Bean soundbites of 2010. This one started out as just a hilarious internet video that we were many years late to finding about. And then we couldn't stop playing it. Every time Ralph introduced a song from the new Michael Jackson album, or any time we said, hey, did you hear there's a new Linkin Park song? Instead of hearing that, what you heard instead was Chacarone. I never got tired of it. I never got tired of hearing.
What did you do?
No, what did you do? I never got tired of hearing the Chacarone guy. You know, it still cracks me up.
For those of you that don't know, I mean, the dude was that was a placeholder because he hadn't written any lyrics yet.
Yeah.
And then his friends thought it was funny, so they just left it.
And it's awesome, right?
Yeah.
All right, so that's 10 through 2. There's no drama. There's no excitement. Come there's no now. Question what the number one soundbite of 2010 is. It's I think the honestly, Kevin, I think when you die, it's going to be on your gravestone.
Well, I hope not.
I don't know how it can't be, but the listeners have embraced it, as have we. And by the way, the most remarkable thing about you is that none of us even noticed when you said it. I mean, it didn't even catch our eye. We didn't even turn it into a moment with or anything. It was just Kevin being Kevin.
Yeah.
And I think you know what it is.
Yeah. What did you do?
What did you do?
Yeah.
What did you do? Which, by the way, happened months and months and months ago. Still so popular that we had guys showing up, what was it, at the Miss Double December
party
a couple weeks ago, wearing Kevin, what did you do t-shirts?
Yeah, homemade ones, yeah.
Homemade t-shirts.
Yeah.
I can't explain it.
I don't think I was drunk at the time, but I do believe that alcohol has damaged my ability to speak permanently.
I think it did sum you up in 2010, though. It showed you how far you've fallen.
What did you do?
What did you do? Exactly.
What did you do? What did you do? What did you do? What did you do?
Come on now.
What did you do? What did you do? What did you do? What did you do? What did you do?
He's drunk and often loopy, confused and rather kooky. He's stammering and goofy. Is Kevin special needs? His memory is failing, vocabulary's ailing. He can't work his email because Kevin's special needs.
What did you do? What did you do?
Come on.
What did you do? What did you do? What did you do?
Dave is working on the post right now, by the way, and in a few minutes you can go to KevinAmbian.com and you can hear all 10 of the best sound bites of 2010 from the Kevin Ambian Show. This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday. Our friend Bill Burr, very funny man, coming to town at the Improv, will be joining us after the top of the hour. And Christian Bale talks about The Fighter next hour as well. Ralph is in here for the showbiz beat, but Omar is saying you got to open a gift first.
Yeah, Omar got me a Christmas gift. He wants me to open on the air. So
Omar, you bought this how long ago? You said
I bought it about a month ago, it's really appropriate now.
I'm sorry, we can't hear you. You're not yelling enough.
Okay. This is our, in case you're wondering why anyone's opening presents on the, what is it, the 15th or 14th, whatever it is.
This is when we celebrate Christmas.
This is our last program of the year, we won't be seeing each other again for a while. So.
Yeah, you're all be getting your gifts in the mail for me because... Because Santa was a little late coming out of the North Pole this year.
Yes, me as well.
Yes. Open this up. This is the Little Whizzer battery-operated liquor dispenser where you fill it with booze and you press the button and it's a little statue of a little dude.
Wow.
Who urinates out the liquor into your glass.
That is so funny.
The liquor comes out of the little kid's penis. Yes. Wow.
It's like one of those little fountains of a dude, like that little baby kid taking a wee.
And after your performance at Acoustic Christmas.
Yes.
And, like Ralph.
And booze comes out of the little wizard.
What are the chances?
See?
That's Ralph's the big wizard. That's the little wizard.
That's right. Well, he will urinate liquor into my glass, and then I will filter it, and then I will also do the same thing in front of
right back to him.
It's a circle of life.
It is a circle of life. Thank you, Omar.
That's a fantastic gift.
That's going to be quite the conversation piece of my next party.
Yes,
when I got a little
is.
Kid whizzing into people's glasses when I'm filling it up.
You want a beer? Just don't say anything about it. You want a beer? Yeah, okay. No
more
problem.
Scotch? Sure. Let me take it over to the little wizard. Let him pee into your glass. Thank you, Omar. I appreciate it. It's very kind of you.
That's perfect.
Well done. Yes. All right.
Funny, got it a month ago, and then that thing happened to Christopher.
Who knew?
Yeah.
He's psychic, Omar.
Yeah.
Time for the showbiz beat, and as always, Ralph, I understand you got a little present for the listeners yourself.
Nope. Got nothing.
Yeah. Oh. I was misinformed.
What's going on there and out the end of that table?
Just trying to help. Just trying to do a segue here. Just a transition. Come on, man. Don't fight me.
Thanks for propping me up, man. I've got tickets to give away to Tron Legacy. Advanced screening. You get to see it before anybody else. It's in theaters this Friday, December the 17th. But if you'd like to see it tonight with me in Irvine, California, on the IMAX screen in 3D. Doesn't get any better than that.
I've seen 3D a lot. I've never seen the IMAX 3D.
Kevin.
Haven't. Sounds good.
Kevin. So good.
Yeah. I mean, 3D and IMAX, I mean, I guess that is the best movie-going experience that exists in 2010, right?
Well, especially for a movie like Tron, which is all special effects, and you're going into a futuristic cyber world and all that kind of good stuff. So if you'd like to come with me, I've got two pairs of tickets right now to give away, 1-800-520-1067. That's the number. And if you're one of the first two lucky callers to get through, I'll give you a pair of tickets. You come see me tonight. We'll have popcorn. We'll sip Diet Coke.
Wow.
With a little syrup in it.
Syrup.
Some Four Loko. You know, we'll party. We'll party like crazy.
Sure.
TV notes. Fox has pulled the remaining 5 episodes of the Will Arnett TV series Running Wild. They were going to burn them off after they canceled the show, but now they're not even going to do that. Fox said they may air eventually, but they're not really saying when. Yeah. So you might want to wait and buy the box set.
It's like the 26th at December 26th at midnight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. That show was okay, by the way. A lot worse shows that are still on the air, is what I'm saying.
Not
okay.
Many.
It had a lot of promise.
Yeah.
But failed somehow.
Well, and that's great talent.
I love him.
Enormously funny.
And I love her, too.
Carrie Russell could not be funnier. I love her, too. She is a comedian extraordinaire. Oh, wait a minute. Maybe she was.
I do love her.
I think she might have been the weak link. Yeah.
The premise was also sort of snarky and sort of, oh, hey, see, they're so opposite, yet they have all this mutual attraction.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jane Lynch is going to be guest starring on The Simpsons. Fox has announced she will play Roz, Homer Simpson's new assistant at the power plant. So I think chaos will ensue there. And Lindsay Lohan's mom, Dina, is now saying that even if Lindsay doesn't want to participate on Dancing with the Stars, she'll do it. I'll do it.
Wow.
She's so pathetic.
Producers apparently approached Lindsay to see if she's interested, and she's like, no, that's just not for me. And Dina was like, oh, okay, I'll just go then.
What about
How
me?
About me? How about me? I'm famous, right? How about me? I want to be a star.
Wow.
F you. Wow. Dina Lohan.
That's really unbelievable.
She's pathetic. Bad news for Iron Man fans. I know I was bummed to hear that Jon Favreau will not be able to do Iron Man 3.
Oh, that is too bad.
Apparently, scheduling is in conflict with his new project, Magic Kingdom. I don't know if you're familiar with this film or not, but this is about the Disneyland theme park. What happens at night after the doors are closed?
Ah, does it come to life, Ralph?
Yeah, it comes to life. Mm-hmm. It's basically Night at the Smithsonian or whatever that was with Disney.
Right.
So, like, Dumbo's going to fly over you, and then all the presidents come out and start murdering people.
For Iron Man 3?
I mean, no offense, Mr. Favreau, we love you, but do Iron Man instead.
So, Hollywood Reporter says they're looking for a new director for Iron Man 3. Kevin?
I'll do it, sure.
All right, you up for it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Good news.
I'd be a good director, I think.
I think so, too, because you're really good at keeping a lot of balls in the air. You're detail-oriented. You're like one of those plate spinners who can just keep everything going and keep it forward. And you're a problem solver, so I think you've got all the necessary skills.
It means a lot. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I wonder sometimes how Kevin doesn't miss anything. I mean, something can be going on a mile away, and in his peripheral vision, he'll be able to see it and compute it and understand it.
You're embarrassing me now. Seriously.
It's a gift. He's gifted.
Thank you.
I guess that's it.
He's special, as they say. On the short bus with the kids in the helmets.
Or you can tell him something and he'll literally have forgotten he ever heard it 15 seconds later. One of those two things.
What are we talking about?
What's the name of the movie where Disneyland comes to life at night? We were just talking about Jon Favreau's going to direct it. What's the name of it? What is the name of it?
No idea. Honestly, I don't know. I know that it's in place of Iron Man 3.
I know. 10 seconds ago we were talking about it.
I know. I wasn't paying attention.
Maybe you can't direct then. Magic Kingdom. Magic Kingdom, yeah.
Oh, I just got it. Same time.
Did you? What coincidence. Scarlett Johansson is single, fellas.
That's what I'm talking about.
Belly up to the bar. I'm buying. She apparently is calling it quits after 2 years of marriage to husband Ryan Reynolds.
This is what everybody's been waiting for.
The couple released a statement saying they're ending their marriage, but they plan to leave the relationship with love and kindness.
I wish I was a celebrity and I could do that.
So when you got divorced, you could just hug and kiss and just love that person as much as you did the day you married them.
It's been a great 2 years. It's just a wonderful life.
Oh, I love you. I love you, too.
See you at the awards.
So I don't love you enough to stay married to you, but we're such good friends and I love you. Madness.
Seems so easy for them.
Come see me and Kevin Smith this Friday, won't you? Universal City Walk, John Lovitz Comedy Club. We're doing our Hollywood Babylon show. And then we're also doing a show on New Year's Eve. We're taking Christmas Eve off, but you can come join us. Hollywood Babylon with me and Kevin Smith. Go to babbleonralph.com for details and to buy tickets. We'd love to see you there because, well, without you, there's not much of a show.
No!
It's just two sweaty fat dudes talking about movies without you. Today's celebrity birthdays. Why don't you come out, Kevin? Why don't you come? Why don't you come out? I think you'd like it. Why don't you come out?
Yeah, I'll be there.
No!
What time?
Your mouth says yes, but your fingers say no.
What time?
Nope.
I'll be there.
No!
No way. Not ever.
Tim Conway, 77 years old today as we look at celebrity birthdays. Don Johnson.
No.
Don Johnson, 61. Stuart Townsend, former significant other of Charlize Theron, also movie star of Queen of the Damned and other feature films like League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. He's 38 years old.
No way. He's bartending at the comedy club, isn't he, Ralph?
Yes.
Oh, my God, no way.
Adam Brody is 31 years old today.
That is no way to live.
And Flo Rida celebrates his 30th birthday
today. No, no.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Mm-mm.
It is his birthday.
No, no.
You can't deny it's his birthday.
No, no, no. Hell
well, you
got to no.
take that up with Flo.
No, no. I refuse. No, no.
It's his birthday. It says it right here.
Lisa, no! No way.
Lisa wasn't even, had nothing to do with it.
Why did that happen?
No!
Some sort of end of the year clearance.
Everything must go.
Everything
no.
must go.
No.
Yep.
No.
I'm Ralph Garman.
No.
I walk the
I'm out.
Showbiz beat.
Hey, when people say they rescued a dog, that annoys the out of me.
She's a rescue. Yeah, I rescued her.
Really? Did you pull her out of a burning building? Or did you just go down to the pound and get a free dog, you cheap? Isn't that what you did? I love when people say that. Oh, that's why I drew on the line. Oh, oh, he drew a line, everybody. Whatever you do, don't cross his line. Everybody's worried about his image. Brace it. Just become like the bad boy of golf. Show up, I wouldn't even wear a shirt. You know? Come out dressed like Ric Flair, some bedazzled. Have like a whore for a caddy. Ah, this is why I don't get laid after my shows, people. This is it right here.
Mr. Bill Burr.
Yeah.
Mr. Bill Burr, indeed, back in town playing Thursday through Sunday at the Brea Improv. Mr. Burr, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show. Happy holidays. How are you?
What's up, guys? Thank you for having me.
Good to talk to you. So, what's new? What have you been up to? We haven't talked to you in a while.
What have I been up to? I've been traveling the globe just in the United States. I did like six back-to-back weeks, so I give the government all my money.
Wow, that's
it. That's how I end my year.
That seems like it's
spend it all on me for the first 10 months, and then I go, oh, wait a minute, I owe those guys money. And
I
then
I just give them a bunch back.
Yeah.
So this weekend, this stand Thursday through Sunday at the Bray Improv, this is Bill Burr needs to pay his taxes, so won't you please buy a ticket weekend, right?
Absolutely. I'll accept any form of currency.
send it back to the bankers.
So your free dog that you have talked about, you don't even get to see your poor dog because you're gone all the time. It's got to break your heart. It's got to break your dog's heart.
Yeah, I know. It's awful. I'm actually in a riff right now with my girlfriend because I took a little a risk with the Christmas tree. The last couple of years, I've been going out looking at these Christmas trees, and you know, they have the usual, like, bushy-looking ones.
Right.
I've been joking. It looks like a contestant on Biggest Loser, like, 4 weeks in.
Right.
Like, that's the classic-looking Christmas tree.
Right.
But they got these other ones. They're called Silver Tips or something, and they look, I don't know. To me, they look like those trees you see in, like, the Dr. Seuss books. I thought it looked cool.
Right.
And I brought it home, and I was like, you know.
You were excited.
Yeah, I mean, here's a Christmas tree. And she's like, well, you know, where's the rest of it? I'm like, no, that's the style. That's what it's supposed to look like. And she thinks it looks like the Christmas tree in, like, the Charlie Brown cartoon.
Sad
like
little
it's a
tree.
Sad,
yeah.
It isn't. I think it's really cool looking. I think I'm just a little ahead of my time in a Christmas way. But
sure.
I put it up on my website, and everybody's been trashing it, saying I'm a cheap bastard. And I don't have the heart to tell them it costs just as much as the fat ones.
Oh, because then you're a dumb bastard.
Yeah.
It's the same.
Yeah, no, but now, I thought it would look good with the ornaments hanging off instead of having all those branches. Plus, the worst part after Christmas is if you dispose of it properly rather than throwing it out your car.
Right.
Like somebody owes you money. You know, have it by Tuesday. You just toss it out. I actually, you know, have to hack the thing up and stick it in the recycle thing.
So this will be much less work.
Yeah, it'll be two behind the ear.
All right, so,
nice and quick. It's just depressing to sit there and hack it up.
All right, so who wins? I mean, is that
no,
your tree?
I won.
Oh, you won. Okay. Right. Well, you should, because you're the man.
You're not considering
exactly.
going back.
Well,
little
yeah.
old school.
He won, but now his life is miserable.
Well,
so
I don't know.
Did he really win?
I don't know if his life.
No, I did, because I don't allow the misery, because I know that that's what you females do. That you guys either can bring the love, or you can bring the misery.
You can win.
It's either high pressure or low pressure system.
And you block the misery? How do you do that?
Back on the road. I don't care.
Just go back on the road?
No, that's what I did. I go, you want me to go buy another one? I'll go buy another one.
Just like it.
Yeah.
I'll find another one, and I'll stick it next to the other one, then that thing will have some sort of tree eating disorder when it sees how skinny my other one is. Start hacking up needles and branches all over our floor.
It'll start cutting itself.
Yeah, I like it. She doesn't like it, and evidently none of my listeners in my podcast, they all think it's horrific.
Really? So it's about 100% against?
Yeah, I would say it's...
Wow, that's kind of a bummer because you were really genuinely...
We're talking like Jimmy Carter approval ratings, 1979. Yeah. That's
you mean you're talking Barack Obama approval ratings, 2010 is what you mean.
Yeah, but that's only because morons think that you can actually have a bankrupt country and fix it in 2 years.
Yeah.
You know?
Come on, let's get moving.
And they all work for the same guys. That was what's hilarious about this. Like 2 years ago, we kicked out all the Republicans. And he was like, yeah, we took the country back. 2 years later, you toss all them out, right?
Right.
Put the Republicans back in. It's like you didn't.
It really doesn't matter.
You got to go after the Federal Reserve. You got to have like one. You know,
how do you do that?
You can't.
Oh, okay. All right.
You got to have like
you know, some assault plan or something.
Like a Will Smith movie. Which is just, you're the only guy left. I think that's the only way to do it. Other than that, you get a dog and an emaciated tree.
Yeah.
I do feel that we're in such dire straits here that there's nobody that knows how to fix it or nobody who's willing to do the hard work to fix it. I feel like we have dark times ahead, Bill, which is great for a guy like you who thrives on pain for your comedy. The more unhappy that you are and the more unhappy the populace is, the better for business.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I you know what? I try to stay away from talking about that kind of stuff.
You do.
Because either all you mean at the end are either those CNN, Fox News psycho,
right?
Those people who are just all the way to one side or the other. You can't even talk to them, or you run into the conspiracy theory.
Oh, I love
guy,
them.
Yeah, whose eyebrows are up by his hairlines. I'm talking about the Federal Reserve.
I love the conspiracy theories. Those
spitting
are my favorites.
On you as he's talking. He's so passionate. You sort of back away from your DVDs. Take whatever you want, buddy.
I haven't put the pieces together, but I know somehow Nicolas Cage is involved in a conspiracy that has to do with the U.S. government. I just can't figure out what it is yet. Something about him. He just seems shaky.
He's got those beady little eyes. He looks like a villain from like the original movies. The 20s.
He does. How's the podcast been working out for you? I hear it once in a while, not as much as I'd like, but do you still enjoy it?
Yeah, I love doing it, and it's actually been considering there's so much stuff out there now, like 9,000 channels and the internet and video games. Like podcasts are kind of a great way for a comedian to try and I just use it to whore myself out. You know, hype anything that I have going on and, try to make people laugh on Monday mornings when they have to go to work.
It's called the Monday Morning Podcast for those of you who want to find that on iTunes.
And if you want to look at my Christmas tree and trash me during the holiday season, you heartless bastards, go to the mmpodcast.com.
There really does have to be other people who like that type of tree or they wouldn't sell it.
They wouldn't sell
just
it, right?
No one you
I'm
know.
Sure that's
well,
true.
The person who I bought the Christmas tree off was, I go, I like this. And she was just like, yeah, this is the one I have. So I felt good. And then I was just like, well, what else is she going
to
say?
She was lying to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I have that. He's a salesperson.
I have a pink Christmas tree. It won't surprise anybody. And I keep it up year-round. So it really, I don't have any of that hassle of, oh, my God, we have to put the tree up this year, or, oh, my God, we have to take the tree down this year. That's eliminated in my life. I've saved myself 20 minutes on either side of the holiday season by leaving it up.
That's really good.
Pink in what way? Like by Elvis?
His house is pink.
Elvis's mom's Cadillac?
Tree is pink, yes.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Yes.
He's not that.
Is it like a 1950s diner kind of style?
Yeah,
or is it,
yeah, exactly.
That's
that
what
kind
he
of.
Would like you to believe.
Okay.
But it's more of a powder puff type thing.
Thank you, Tuscadero, if I could throw out an old reference.
Yes, Bill is trying so hard to think of what he can and can't say on the air to me right
That's
now, but I know what he's thinking, and I know it's ugly.
I got a story about that. Okay. My girl wanted to go. She asked me, you know, we had this big fight about how I never go with her to anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't even that. She never invites me because she just assumes then I'm going to go there and not have a good time and start trashing people.
You'll
and
ruin
then,
it.
Yeah, and then embarrass her.
Right.
So the other night, she we had the fights. So I said, no, whatever you want to do next. So she wanted to go to this burlesque show.
The movie.
No, this an actual burlesque show. So I was like, yeah, I'll go to it, you know.
All right.
I figured it's an upscale sort of strip club.
Right, mm-hmm. Right,
you know?
Right.
No guilt, none of that seedy, disgusting thing. So
you win by doing
totally.
What she wants to do.
And all these girls are going to come out, you know, little pasties. PG-13 stripping.
Right.
Yeah. Who wouldn't want that, right?
Okay.
Perfect for the holidays. Dude, I showed up, and it was probably the gayest event you could ever go to. I might have been the only straight guy there. Other than like, the women. It was ridiculous. I don't know what. Every guy there was dressed like Elton John. And, like, this dude, I swear to God, he had, like, a... You know, remember those Devo hats?
Oh,
he had,
sure.
Like, a glitter...
Flower pot heads, yeah.
A glitter Devo hat with these... Yoko Ono, huge glasses, then wearing like a glitter dress.
You think your wife knew that before she invited you?
I hope so.
So the first girl comes out, right? She comes out to do her bit, right? And she comes out, you know, like on like a horsey, on like a merry-go-round kind of thing, but it's just a horse with like the pole, you know, the horse, right. So she uses that as a stripper pole. So the gay dude in front of me is standing up, which you're not supposed to do. He's standing up taking pictures, so he's already annoying me.
Did you yell, down in front?
Yeah, no, I want to be like, this is the guy when they say, don't put your jackets in the overhead compartment. Right. This is the guy who completely blows it off. And selfish. Selfish bastard, right? But you can't say that because he's gay, because then it makes you homophobic, right. You know? You can't say anything bad, right? So he's sitting there. This is a hilarious thing. He took one picture of her and like four pictures of the pony, right? And then I swear to God, for the rest of the show, him and his boyfriend, I swear to God, they just going at it.
All right.
And my girl is just, no, it was annoying.
All
and
right.
I was like, and I was going, that's disgusting. It's disgusting. My girl's giving me a rough time. It's like, you know what's funny? If it was two fat people, you could be like, ah, that's gross. You know,
be fine.
Get a room.
Right.
But if it's two gay guys, you can't do it because automatically you're like homophobic. It's like, no, it's disgusting.
I think your wife knew that is exactly what you were going to experience and burned your ass.
Oh, she's brilliant. Yeah.
She was dying laughing. She
that's hilarious.
Laughing. But I got to admit, the show was actually great. It was at that Dita Von Teese.
Oh, really? she's the best there is. Yeah.
She killed it.
She's a pro. Yeah.
She killed it. And the host, Murray Hill, there was this comedian, was absolutely hilarious. And I enjoyed that. But other than the two selfish gay guys in front of me pawing all over each other, standing up and using flash photography. Other than that, every other gay person was cool there.
Bill Burr is here, and it's hard to believe, but he's angry about a few things. And you can see him vent on stage tomorrow night through Sunday.
Look, I just took all the wind out of everything I was saying. Yeah, I was sticking up for the people who do the right thing. The people who put their smaller packages under their seat.
That's right. Good for you. 16th through the 19th.
So politically correct.
This weekend at the Brea Improv, go to improv.com to buy tickets. You will not be disappointed. More with our guests right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. Our friend Bill Burr in studio with us on the Kevin and Bean Show, the man who slayed the crowd at April Foolishness last year. Bill, we got to get you back on that, Bill, man. That was so much fun having you there with us.
I'm definitely doing it. If you guys
are awesome.
In town this long weekend, Thursday through Sunday at the Brea Improv, improv.com, if you want to see the man on stage. Bill Burr on the program today, opening for Christian Bale, who's going to be our guest coming up next in about 10 minutes or so, right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Christian Bale will be here talking about The Wrestler. What were we just telling Bill?
Or the fighter.
The Fighter, same thing, same movie.
It's not this... The Assassin.
I'd be happy to hear that.
What?
The landscaper.
Whatever. I'd like to see Christian Bale is the landscaper.
The landscaper.
I heard that's a great movie, though. Wahlberg and the...
Yeah.
The Fighter.
Yeah. Can't wait. Yeah, I got nominated for a ton of Golden Globes yesterday, including Christian Bale's performance, and the guy's just an unbelievable actor. Hey, how about your Patriots, man? Going all the way?
I don't know. You know what? Two great weeks in a row with defense does not make up for 11 horrific ones where we let up 24 to 30 points. I want to see two more weeks of them playing like that. Then I think we got a shot. But I got to tell you, if the Jets lose every game for the rest of the year and they don't make the playoffs, I don't need one Christmas present. I can't remember the last time a team annoyed me with all that trash that they talked. It's they talk trash on
because of the HBO show, right?
Yeah, they were talking this trash like they had already won like a championship, if not two, maybe three.
Yeah,
you know, did you hear the Lakers say anything before the season?
Nah, not really.
Yeah. Not a word.
It was ridiculous.
But you're right. The Jets had all the pre-hype. I mean, they were definitely the sexy pick for 2010. Everybody was like, "It's all about the Jets. It's all about Sanchito." And then gradually, it just started to kind of fall apart week to week. People were like, "I don't know. They may not be for real after all." And that game against New England just had to be the worst. I mean, I didn't know. I didn't see the stats, but it had to be one of the worst losses in Jets history, right?
Oh yeah, it was up there. And then I loved they buried the ball. We're going to put that game behind them, and then they lose to the Dolphins. It's just like, okay, let's dig another one. I don't think that strength and conditioning coach, I don't think that guy's a bad guy, though.
The guy who tripped the Dolphin?
No, because that was all about circumstances. Like, look, you could put me in a circumstance, you know, you put me in the right circumstance, I would eat my own dog. If I was starving, you know what I mean?
And but he wasn't starving.
No,
he wasn't
starving. I'll tell you what.
I'm trying to see the correlation.
The problem is their coach is crazy.
That's the good thing about him.
He's crazy.
Crazy.
Right. He had a manic episode at the beginning of the season. His demons in his head were saying, "You're not good enough to be there." He freaked out. He walked up to that bus and he wrote, "We're going to win the Super Bowl." And he brought him all the way up to that manic level. And when you go up that high, you crash that low. And they all followed him. So I swear to God, if they had beaten the Patriots the week before or if they were beating the Dolphins,
he wouldn't have done that. But it was just they lost that. It was it's unraveling because he's losing.
It is unraveling,
and
but
then
that's
that guy
why
just happens to come by. You can see he didn't want to do it. He didn't want to do it. You see his other knee going, no, no, stay back here with me. And he just stuck it out there. And you know the second he did it, he was like, oh, my God, what did I do?
Yeah.
Did anybody see that?
Yeah, can be.
Well, you got to suspend a guy like that. I mean, clearly that goes even beyond unsportsmanlike. I mean, you just can't. You can't do that. You can't be on a coaching staff or a team and trip another. Yeah, but you're not in the NFL. You know.
First of all, you've never done anything like that.
So I didn't get suspended, but I mean, I've done stuff like that.
My question is, what does a strength and conditioning coach do during the game? You can't expect him not to want to like fill time. He's probably bored out of his mind.
Oh yeah, and the way he's all ramped up on testosterone.
So that's cool then.
No, but in some way.
He's bored.
Like, why even have him on the sideline? He's the guy who tells you how to squat properly. That and you're during the game, he's standing on the sideline. What do you expect the guy to do? He's going to do wacky testosterone-fueled stuff. I mean, he's a meathead that you pay to, like, have guys who are 300 pounds learn how to squat more.
I just love how easy it is to trip a professional athlete. Like, that guy, like, looked like he fell out of a car. I mean, he got tripped in, like, the 40. He didn't stop rolling into, like, the goal line. I was just like, that coach, just one little... Is he running that fast? All you got to do is just graze against him?
No, it's the unexpected part of it, I think.
I know.
That's the part that kills you. When you feel it before you see it, that's the part where you just lose all body function.
I'll tell you who's a scary team is the Chargers, just for the simple fact that they got the whole Jekyll and Hyde thing where, like, they are a little kill or be killed.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
They're either going to win 41-0 or lose, like, 58-3.
And you never know which week to week could just be the exact opposite.
Yeah, so a gambler like me really does not like that team this year. Yeah.
Are you in any kind of a football pool this
year? I do that stuff. I do.
I'm in a pool, and I'm almost dead last.
You're almost dead last?
And there's really? Hundreds of people. I mean, hundreds. Maybe 1,000.
Yeah, I got another comedian, Paul Verzi. We basically pick like four games a week against the spread, and in the end, whoever wins like $500 for the year. And I was doing great. I was right around 500, which against the spread is decent. Yeah. Plusly, I'm not like a huge gambler or anything, but the last couple of weeks, I just gotten killed.
Yeah,
there's a couple teams. You always have a couple teams that you love. Like Atlanta and Tampa Bay have been great to me this year.
Yeah.
And Oakland,
is another one of those. They can win by 50 or lose.
They're the worst. I bet on them. I bet against them. I've lost every time. I hate them. I hate them.
Well, the house doesn't stay in business by losing that often. Let's face it. It is set up against you when you gamble. You know that. But you do it because it's fun. It makes Sunday so much more interesting when you got something riding on it.
Yeah, that's the great thing about gambling is you will care when Jacksonville is playing Tampa Bay.
Correct.
Other than you have no interest.
That's the only You're absolutely sure. right. All right, one last question on this, and then we have to say goodbye to Bill because Christian Bale's coming up next. And that is, even though you're a huge Patriots fan and you know, your hopes and dreams rest on Tom Brady's magnificent shoulders, he's a girly man, right? And that hair this year is ridiculous. And he just does it because it annoys everyone, right?
It's all jealousy. This is all jealousy. Yeah. He's successful. He's a good-looking guy, and he's got one of the hottest women on the planet.
That's all true.
And we're all just sitting here staring at each other.
Yeah, time out, time out. And look at us.
Yeah.
I agree. A lot of it's jealousy fueled, but he is still. I mean, he's rocking the wallet chain. He's Tom Brady. He has a wallet chain. Come on. At some point, we gotta.
And almost a mullet. Come on.
No, you know what it is? It's that J-Lo Ben Affleck thing. Remember how after a while she just started dressing him up? You got to watch out. Some girls, they turn you into a Ken doll. And that's what she's done to him. He has the mullet 2.0.
But here's the thing about him is that it doesn't matter what he wears. He's still better looking than all of us.
And he's still got the skills. He still delivers when he has to.
He's a leader. He's a winner. I've been saying it for years. Peyton Manning can't touch him. Can't touch him. Peyton Manning is a regular season statistical juggernaut. He's not a leader. When he starts losing, he slumps his shoulders. He starts pursing his lips. He gets that, well, I guess we're going to lose. And then, in the end of the game, he throws all his buddies under the bus. We had protection issues. There was special team issues. There was issues everywhere but at the quarterback position. But we're going to go get him next week. And all his teammates are sitting there like, really? We're already going to hear from the press. You got to add fuel to the fire.
If there's one thing I know is that level of enthusiasm can make you lose $10,000 on the Patriots in the Super Bowl in February. That's the only thing I know.
Yeah.
All right. Bill Burr is going to be at the Brea Improv Thursday night through Sunday night. If you haven't seen Bill Burr on stage, you haven't seen Bill Burr. He's a phenomenal stand-up, and you'll have a great time if we go. We guarantee it. Go to improv.com to buy your tickets. Bill, have a wonderful holiday season, man. We'll see you next year.
You too, guys. Merry Christmas.
Thanks for tuning into the Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday. I am so sad I have not yet had the chance to see The Fighter. It's not actually even playing near me yet, but I've got plans over the holidays. It's opening up wider this Friday, December 17th, and we couldn't be more excited to welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show Christian Bale, one of the co-stars of the movie. Hey, Mr. Bale, welcome back. How are you, sir?
How you doing, guys?
We are good.
Great to talk to you. First off, congratulations on the Golden Globe nomination for you and your friends in the film, man. That was a huge day for y'all yesterday.
Yeah, that was a good day. It was kind of a, you know, it was a straight flush. That was a total surprise for all of us, you know. Wonderful. Wonderful stuff.
I mean, if there's one thing I know about you, it's that you don't look for movies based on how the critics are going to like them or how the awards are going to go. You just look for stories that talk to you. So when it ends up doubling for both, I imagine that just makes it extra special.
It does, but I'm wondering why you think that. Is it because most of my movies get reviewed terribly and get no awards?
No, it's not at all. It's because you have been criminally overlooked when it comes to awards, because guy after guy will say, if anyone deserves an Oscar, it's freaking Christian Bale. I just can't believe you haven't won one. I'm
thank
just
you,
serious.
Thank you, right. Thank you very much. But yeah. I mean, with this movie, I think the thing is that, you know, this was a real passion project for Mark, and, you know, he had been trying to get this going for 5 years, and there wasn't a single soul on the movie that wasn't really behaving like a filmmaker. You know, nobody was phoning it in, you know, right down every single crew member, and it makes such a big difference. And, you know, none of us had any idea that it would get the sort of attention that it seems like, you know, maybe it will get. But that is one thing that you can always tell. I'm sure you guys feel it as well. When the people around who are just phoning something in, it never goes very well.
Yeah.
And with this, everybody was just so into it.
Do you have, I know, you know, you don't look for it, but do you have a sense of people will love this, or do you even get that sense?
I'm the worst person in the world to ask that. I have no sense
at all
of what people are going to like, why people like it, even after they're telling me they like it. I've still got no idea. It's tricky to see the wood for the trees when you're so inside of a movie.
Right, you know? Sure. We had your co-star Mark Wahlberg on the program with us last week, and he was telling us he's been friends with Mickey Ward for a long, long time, spent a ton of time around him, you know, which obviously makes different challenges when you're trying to play a real-life person. And you had the same experience with Dickie, his brother, that you played. I mean, you spent some real time with this dude, right?
Dickie's a great guy, yeah. No, Dickie's such great company, and you know, he's had a hell of a life, you know. I mean, the guy's certainly been right over the edge and come back again, and he's laughing a lot, and he's, you know, imagine if somebody came to you and said they're going to make a movie of your life, and you know what, we really want to show all the worst elements of it.
Right, no thanks.
You know, most people wouldn't be too happy about that, so, it takes a while to come around, but I've watched it a number of times with Dickie. I watched it with Dickie and his sons the other night, and they were laughing their asses off, and they loved it, and I think that made a big difference.
Were you a little nervous? Just because?
What? Because he's a pro boxer, and he could just knock me out cold and like it?
Just you're playing a person and who's sitting there watching you play him.
Thank God, you know, Dickie seemed to enjoy the whole experience. You know, certainly when he first met me, I could see there was that assessment of, who the hell is this guy?
Right.
And then we hung out together in Lowell a whole lot, and Dickie's like the mayor of the streets of Lowell, you know. I would walk down the street with him, and everyone's hanging out the windows shouting, Dickie, this and everything. And he saw that, no, I really wanted to get into it, and I wasn't going to be coming up with something that was untrue. And of course, when you're doing a two-hour movie, you've got to condense.
Right.
Yeah, otherwise, you know, it would be a 100-hour movie if we showed everything in absolute right. context. But I think he's good with it. But I always said, hey, Dickie, you know, we're just grateful that you have allowed us to make this. You don't ever have to love the movie or say you love it or anything. And Dickie's not somebody who would beat around the bush. He would come
right,
out with it and tell anybody.
He would say, yeah, didn't like it all that much.
Yeah.
This is the voice of Christian Bale on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about his film, The Fighter, now in limited release, wider release this Friday. Again, I apologize, Christian. I haven't had a chance to see the movie. It's literally not playing where I live yet. But there are two types of people who deal with promise that is never reached, like in the Dickie story, where he had the potential to be a great champion, and he got derailed through drugs and personal issues and wasn't able to. And you can go one of two ways. You can either roll with the punches and still go on and have a happy life, or you can be a bitter, angry person for the rest of your life and never get over it. Which way did it fall for Dickie?
Well, the thing that I love so much about this movie, and also, you know, in times hanging out with Dickie, is he's got such love for his little brother and is so proud of him. For what he's achieved, that I see Dickie as a complete success, because he overcame all of the burden of the expectation of being the breadwinner for the entire family, of being the rising star at too young of an age when he wasn't ready for it, you know?
Right.
And he did a phenomenal thing. He went the distance against Sugar Ray Leonard when he was 21. And to me, that's incredible. But everyone had to make up this extra bit about, yeah, he really knocked him down. When, you know, it was likely that he tripped.
Right.
I think that just really wore on him. The guy had been fighting since he was 13 years old, had done hundreds of fights, lying about his age.
Wow.
Before he was 21. And I think just the burden of the expectations on him derailed him. And he loved to party, and he was incredible because the guy genetically, is still phenomenal. He's in his 50s, and he can just... In training, he trained me. I could never dream of keeping up with him.
He
was able to, in his heyday, he would be out drinking all night, partying very hard, and then get up in the morning and go jump in the ring for one of his pro bouts.
Wow.
and win. But, you know, it caught up with him eventually. But when he decided, you know what, no, enough's enough, even though everyone's telling him that he's the star, it's his little brother. And he made that turnaround, and he convinced the rest of the family, it's Mickey that we've got to look at now. Well, he trained him, and Mickey became world champ. So I see that as being a real success story
between
the two brothers.
We're almost out of time, Christian. We're so grateful you were able to include us in talking about this, the movie The Fighter. I know that it was a passion project for Mark Wahlberg. You know, he grew up around boxing, loves to box. Were you at all familiar with it, or was this stepping into a whole new world for you?
I'd never boxed. Absolute appreciation. You step in the ring with a pro boxer, and you know it's tiring enough when they're not hitting you, when they're just saying, okay, come at me.
Right.
That's exhausting. And then suddenly when they start hitting back, you go, I really don't belong in this ring at all. I kind of like boxing the same way that most people do. You know, I watch it when the heavyweights are on, and growing up in England, it was Frank Bruno and Barry McGuigan and stuff. But I do love the sport in that it's one-on-one. You know, I've never been great on team sports particularly. I love watching, you just got one guy who's absolutely going to succeed and one who's going to fail, and you kind of see a whole story played out right in that fight. And you can see personalities through the fights as well.
Absolutely. Well, it is the sweet science. The Fighter is the movie, now in limited release, in wider release this coming Friday. Christian Bale, Golden Globe-nominated Christian Bale. Yes, sir.
Let me just ask one thing. If any of you guys want to get in shape, anybody's in the Massachusetts area, check out DickEckland.com. All right, if you want to go train with the actual Dickie.
DickEckland.com.
DickEckland.com.
I don't think I have it takes, but for anyone else. Christian, always great to have you on the Kevin DeBean Show, man. Have a wonderful holiday season for you and your family. Hope we talk to you next year.
You too, guys.
Thanks very much. Thank you, man. Bye. Ralph, we just had our second Batman on in the last week on the Kevin DeBean Show. Adam West last week. Christian Bale right now.
Right.
And we got to get Michael Keaton on. What's going on here?
Yes!
He's hotter than ever.
Because I know you love him so much,
and Val
though,
Kilmer.
Saying.
Yeah.
Clooney.
Get the Clune on.
Right.
Clune dog.
Let's go for it, man. Let's get all the Batmans
Robert
on.
Robert Lowry from the 1943 serial.
He may not still be with us.
Oh.
Was that breakfast cereal?
Movie cereal.
I don't know what that means.
Time for the Showbiz Beat. Ralph Garman is here.
There was a time, Kevin, when they would break a movie up into chapters. And then each week, they would release a new chapter of the story, and the kids would go down to their local movie theaters, and they'd watch a chapter of the serial, which was the many chapters put together.
No kidding.
Yeah, movie serial.
It was an incentive to not skip a week at the theater because you wanted to see what Flash Gordon was going to be up to.
How about that? At the end of each chapter, they would do a cliffhanger. Which is where the phrase came from. Sometimes, literally, in these movie serials in the 30s and 40s, the hero would be hanging off a cliff, and you would have to go back the next week to see how they survived and how they got out of that peril.
Wouldn't they learn to not go near cliffs?
So, hence, they were hanging from one each week. Hanger came from.
Wow. All right.
And every week they would bring the kids back, and that's how they got their money, because they had to see how the story ended. So it would be like Flash Gordon and. Buck Rogers and Batman and Superman and Captain Marvel and that crowd.
I saw Harry Potter and I went back the next week and it's not finished. It's still just the first half.
They disappointed you, did they?
Very disappointing.
Before I get to showbiz news, I do have some tickets to give away to the very special advanced screening of Tron Legacy we're having tonight in Irvine, California. It is going to be in 3D and in IMAX. This is going to be incredible. My head's going to explode.
It is.
Come join me. It's all thanks to our good friends at Philips Norelco and the new SensorTouch 3D Shaver. Walt Disney Pictures Tron Legacy is in theaters everywhere this Friday, December the 17th. But if you're one of the first three callers,
no,
I'm up in the ante. I'm giving away three pairs of tickets right now. 1-800-520-1067. Please come join me tonight, and it's going to be a good time. Saw True Grit last night, speaking of Jeff Bridges.
Yeah. Whew.
So excited about that.
Such a good movie. It's really brilliant. It is beautifully shot, too. It is. The great thing about Westerns is they often have those expansive shots of the landscape and the horizon, and you just forget how big and wide open this country was, and in some parts still is, and it's just, it takes your breath away. Just great, great stuff, and the performances are amazing. I really enjoyed that movie, so
can't wait.
Check that out as well. An archbishop in Argentina for the Catholic Church has upset some people.
Uh-oh.
Because he brought a group of kids together during Mass and told them that Santa wasn't real. That's a crappy thing to do, isn't it?
Yeah.
And if there are any kids listening right now, that's a lie.
That is a lie.
Wow, why would he lie?
Apparently, Archbishop Fra Bacanio Sigampa said that Santa is a fat man dressed in red used to sell merchandise. He said, this is my favorite part of the story, and the reason I bring it up, Christmas gifts really come from your parents with the help of Jesus.
Okay.
So, remember that guy we told you to believe in that you've never seen before? That story? Don't believe that story. Believe this story. So, it's a good time down there in Argentina. A lot of parents are upset because the kids went screaming, crying from the church. So.
He's rewriting the Bible a little bit in that I don't think the story of Jesus is that he brings you gifts.
He does. He does. He brings you gold, frankincense, and myrrh.
Nope. You have that maybe a little backwards.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Earlier in the show, we did the top trending movies on Twitter this year, and they just released their list of the top trending people, which you may be surprised. Now, some of these, Twitter is international, so some may not be familiar names to us here in the States, but I thought it was interesting. Number 10 is Joni Rochette.
Don't know
how you pronounce it. She's a Canadian figure skater and apparently is wildly popular in Canada.
She must be hot.
Okay. So everybody in Canada got their little fingers going on the Twitter account and we're asking about her.
Is that code?
Nope.
Okay.
Kim Hee Chul.
Hey!
Is a huge Korean pop star, actor, host, and DJ. How can you have all those jobs? Really? I guess in Korea, it's a smaller country, you can get that.
Korean Ryan Seacrest, it sounds like.
Yeah. Number 8, Kate Middleton, as you can imagine, soon to be Queen of England.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Or one of these days, not soon to be. Well, who knows?
Maybe
who knows how long Elizabeth's going to hang around. Zilda Arns.
Oh, Zilda Arns.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He or she do good work.
Whatever he or she do.
They, Zilda was a Nobel Peace Prize nominated Brazilian pediatrician and aid worker.
Okay, but how does that become a Twitter trending topic, though?
I don't know.
Good question.
Lil' Kim was 6, so you can see how disparate the Twitterverse is.
Lil' Kim's done more for society than she has.
Mel Gibson was 5th.
Sure.
Julian Assange, how do you say his name?
Assange.
Yeah. The WikiLeaks guy?
Yeah.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Lady Gaga was 3rd.
Sure.
Dilma Rousseff.
Oh, Dilma.
Dilma is the economist, politician, and current president-elect of Brazil. A lot of Brazilian people are very popular. A lot of popular with the Twitters.
That's weird. That must be big there, yeah.
And number 1, who do you think was the most trended? The person who trended the highest on Twitter. Who do you think?
What's Casey it? And the Sunshine Band.
No.
Lindsay Lohan.
No.
It's got to be the Biebs, doesn't it?
Biebs. Justin Bieber.
He was
number 1.
How do you think the Biebs thing went?
Never stronger.
Yeah.
One of the great successes of 2010. I think we'll look back and we'll recognize that I was the beginning of the end for
you
Bieber.
Stopped it.
Yes. Today's celebrity birthdays. Flo Rida is 30 years old today. Adam Brody of The O.C. is 31. Stuart Townsend, very talented actor, is 38. Don Johnson is 61. And our own co-worker Rodney Bingenheimer celebrates his birthday today.
How about
of course,
that?
A legendary disc jockey here in Los Angeles. Broke so many bands over the years. Everyone from Blondie to Van Halen to the Bangles, the Go-Go's, you name it. He was very, very instrumental in launching a lot of careers back in the 80s.
If you told me Rodney was 50, I'd believe you. If you told me he was 80, I'd believe you. I can't figure out how old that
dude is. I would not believe you if he was 50.
Actually, coincidentally, he is 50-80. It's a brand new age. Half of him is 50, the other half is 80. I'll let you figure out which is which. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
97 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 11 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Look, I don't want to stir anything up. I don't want any drama at the holidays. But there was a time where Ralph Garman came in practically erect that Andrew Siciliano was going to be a guest on the show. Because at the time, Ralph, you said he was the best human that ever lived, if I recall correctly, because of his great work that you admire so much on the DirecTV Red Zone,
best
right?
Best sportscaster working today, in my
absolutely.
Opinion.
Yes. Today, though, you're ready to beat his ass down. What's going on?
The conversation needs to be had, that's for sure. The conversation needs to be had.
What conversation needs
to be had? Because it's really not even so much that I'm upset. Andrew's, by the way, in the studio. It's not even so much that I'm upset. I'm just concerned.
What'd I do?
I'm just worried. Yeah. I just want to know what happened to you in Philadelphia. Were you gang raped in the streets of Philadelphia or something?
Yeah. I couldn't figure
Siciliano
out what
Siciliano went
about.
On a tear yesterday on his radio show. I kid you not. I must have done 4 minutes on how Philadelphia is the worst place in the world.
I don't remember. Are you an Eagles fan or are you from Philly?
I was born and raised, spent the first 25 years of my life in the city of Philadelphia.
I'm in trouble.
I sit over there.
Here's the thing about what you said.
Well, let me tell you what he said because you didn't hear it.
All right.
What he said was he could not believe that Cliff Lee, who of course signed that deal with the surprise deal with the Philadelphia Phillies to pitch there. Right. He could not believe that anyone would live in Philadelphia voluntarily is what Andrew
said.
Well,
show me the last athlete that did. He was given options and I went overboard. But then decided I'm going to go to Philly.
Because it's such a great place to live.
Because it's such a great place to live.
Well, he seems to like the people there.
I think I'm on Andrew's side.
He's a groundbreaker, isn't he? In many ways.
Because he chose to go to Philadelphia.
Because he chose to go there.
Well, maybe he didn't want to get, his wife didn't want to get spit on. And so maybe she was safe.
I didn't say he should have gone to New York.
Well, you said he chose not to go to New York versus Philadelphia.
I'm thrilled he didn't go to New York. I hate the Yankees. I hope they get run over by a bus.
You said.
And a big one.
Philadelphia, people in Philadelphia. You hate themselves because they live in Philadelphia.
That's true.
Worst people you've ever met.
I'm
when
that.
You watch
if
them
you had
root
to choose
teams.
One city,
I'm with you on that.
If you had to choose 100 places to live, Philadelphia would not make that list. You
that
said.
Is the truth. For me.
I'm just saying.
That
what
is
happened
the truth.
To you when you did you ever
that's
go there?
Where
you can't
well.
Stand were
you
the
mugged?
Fans.
What
green
happened?
Shirt wearing Ralph aside.
Yes,
I can't stand the fans.
They are a-holes.
Because, all right,
they
here's
are.
How it goes.
But
this
there
is
are
the
a-hole
way.
Fans everywhere.
Yes,
no,
mostly
not like
a-holes
this.
In Philly.
I've gone to a lot of college football games in Philadelphia. I never saw a stabbing
there
after
no
the game.
There are no college football games in Philadelphia.
I've been to Villanova Temple games.
That's not
been,
a college football game. That's an afternoon
no one
party.
Ever got stabbed afterwards.
But that's
you know
not
what?
A college
the
football
game. The
game
wasn't a college football game either,
no,
by the way.
No, it turned into a Raider-Charger game the next day. Now the 5. They just brought it up the road a day early. That got ugly. Here's my thing.
Boston fans are assholes. New York fans are assholes.
Boston fans are different. They're
drunks.
They're
different.
They're drunks. They're racist drunks, most of them.
Well, you've never been to an Eagles game in Philly if you want to see racist drunks, by the way.
Here's what's funny.
All right, this is a really borderline not PC here. Here's the analogy I like to make.
All right.
It's almost like an abusive relationship. Philadelphia fans with their players. The fans beat the hell out of their players. But while they do it, they say, this is rougher for me than it is for you. This is tough. This hurts me more than it hurts you.
Because
one of
it
these
does.
Days, you'll get it. One of these days, you'll get it. You don't get it now.
Because
so
it
I'm
going
to beat the snot out of you. And then when you do something well, I'm going to pat you on the back and say, you should have done that. You should have done that. It's good job out of because you. But that's what you're paid to do. You should have done that. So you won. Good job. But you know what? Do it again. Do it again. And if you don't do it, I'm going to beat the snot out of you again.
Every fan feels that way. You know what?
You guys are worse. Not you personally,
of course. If you're not, attacking them and booing and being vocal, the other end of the spectrum is the people who just, when they're not winning, just walk away, who don't show up to the games anymore.
Well, that's the ultimate protest.
Don't get passionate. Don't care about it. The games sell out regardless, win, lose, or draw in Philadelphia because people are passionate about this sport.
I agree with that, and that's what makes them great.
Let me ask you a question. If you had to pick, you know, a list of 5 of the worst cities for fans. Isn't Philly in that list?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
But to make it the poster child as the worst fans?
Come on, though.
No, there's a lot.
It's a crappy place.
There's been a lot worse behavior by fans in the past 20 years, much worse than was in Philadelphia. Mm.
And our friend
Matt Money Smith wrote an article this week, by the way, speaking of which, saying that how Los Angeles has taken that honor now. The fans in L.A. are horrible.
But is that because of not caring or because of being a-holes?
All of the above.
No.
I'm also going to say that the, and I didn't hear Mr. Siciliano's comments yesterday on ESPN either, but I'm also going to say it sounded like you were condemning the entire city as being a terrible place to live on top of not supporting the sports
games.
Yeah,
I just don't like the place.
I'm down with that, too.
I just don't. I'd rather live in Washington or rather live in New York.
But you know Washington. You've been to New York. How much time have you spent in Philadelphia?
Been there eight times for work or
for
whatever.
For work or whatever, right?
The so you don't you really just don't seem know, angry to me all the time.
But you don't know what it's like to live there.
I have never lived there. You're right. And it's way too close to New Jersey.
How can you know Ralph so much he moved away from it? Come on.
See, there you go.
No, I love it and still miss it. But obviously for the line of work I wanted to get in, there were no opportunities there.
Listen to my radio show. You know I know how to sound angry.
Mm-hmm.
To me, they're too angry. They're just always angry there for no reason.
There's
like
a
the
lot
people
of good
on the
people
other
there
side of the state in Pittsburgh. That's just northern West Virginia, right? But they're not angry.
Well, no.
They accept their role in Pittsburgh.
But because they're brain damaged. The coal they absorb so much of it, they've got brain damage.
The people in Philly just seem angry all the time.
Yeah, they do.
But angry. Guys, isn't it always sunny in Philadelphia?
Oh,
I'm confused now.
Man. That's where we go.
For the name of
come
the show.
On.
You couldn't get away with the name of that show in any other town.
It's always sunny in Cleveland?
Well, it never is sunny in Cleveland.
Well, that would be the irony there. That's what I'm saying.
All right, so we all agree Philadelphia sucks.
To me for something
no,
else.
I don't think that's the point of the story, Kevin. I don't think we all agree on that.
I thought we were all agreeing that
no,
it sucks there.
No, I'm agreeing. I'm going to take all of you guys. We're going to spend some time in Philly, and I'm going to show you the good side of the city because there's a lot to crow about and to be.
Beautiful.
The historic stuff is really not the heart of this city.
We'll meet you there.
The other thing about Philly I don't get, why do you guys park your cars in the middle of the street?
A-holes.
Because there's no room anywhere else.
But have you ever seen this?
No,
in the middle of the street, instead of the median, where there is no curb, just a flat surface, they park their cars in the middle of the street.
The cars become the median.
They become the median.
Yes.
Seriously.
They do.
I'm not making this up.
No. That's an enterprising group of people.
See? There's no more room inside. We'll park in the middle. People can still get by
figure
either way.
I can't figure that out.
Andrew Siciliano is here from ESPN Radio and, of course, the DirecTV Red Zone channel. When we return, by the way, we do need to talk about some sports because, Andrew, you gave me an interesting statistic yesterday.
What was that?
We're heading into week 15 now. 23 teams are still alive for the NFL playoff spots. There are 11 spots. 23 teams in contention. It's going to be a very interesting next couple of weeks. And we will discuss when we return right after this with our guest, Andrew Siciliano, on the Kevin and Bean Show. Red Zone DirecTV channel host Andrew Siciliano is in studio. He can also be heard on ESPN in Southern California, 11 to 3 weekdays on 7:10 a.m. So we're getting right down to it now, man. A couple of weeks of regular season football left. How are you feeling, sis?
Yeah, woohoo. It's almost done. 3 more weeks. We have, like you said before on Twitter, there are 23 teams technically, some of them hanging by a string, but technically still alive for 11 playoff spots. The only team that's in is New England, which just like pulled the Bears' pants down last week and laughed at them.
Yeah, that was embarrassing.
That was such a joke.
In the snow.
The last play of the first half. They're going to take a knee. What the hell? We'll throw it.
Sure, why not?
50 yards. What the
that's
hell?
So Belichick.
Belichick.
And then he probably wasn't happy with it.
Wait a minute. The Bears sat there and let them do it.
Assume they're just going to. There's such a lead. Assume they're just going to run the ball.
They were throwing out of the shotgun in the fourth quarter with 5 minutes to go.
In blizzard conditions.
36-7 in a blizzard.
Yeah.
The Bears fans were thrilled, actually. If you think about it, because they were able to leave at halftime.
Early. Yeah.
They knew the game was over.
Right.
They
cold.
Left at halftime. Yeah. It was
miserable.
A brutal blizzard, so they went home.
Yeah.
Now, at the start of the year, we might have imagined at this time we'd be talking about the Vikings, we'd be talking about the Cowboys. Things have changed quite a bit. Can anyone beat New England right now? What do you think?
I don't think so. Not if you have to go there. I mean, if you have to go to New England, there's no way.
What was the last time they lost at home?
Last year? I'm pretty sure they haven't lost at home this year, right? They lost at Cleveland.
No, they haven't this year. I didn't even know if they lost at home last year, though, is what I'm saying.
At Cleveland, and they lost at the Jets.
Right.
Those are their two
right.
losses. So both of them have been on the road. Both of them have been to a Rob or Rex Ryan coach team.
Right.
The Ryan brothers allegedly figured them out until 2 weeks ago on Monday night when they figured them out the other way. No. But the other thing is Atlanta. No one has won in Atlanta. Matter of fact, Atlanta is undefeated outside the state of Pennsylvania.
Yep.
Their only losses are at Pittsburgh and at Philadelphia. So if you have to go to Atlanta, you're not going to win. And as Ralph knows, the NFC title game could be, matter of fact, it very well will be,
this weekend.
Michael Vick at Atlanta.
Atlanta, wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I mean, that's the greatest.
That's a great story.
Off-field
I like that.
Drama ever.
Well, and the Michael Vick story this year in particular has been an unbelievable one in that, let's remember, he wasn't a starting quarterback when the season began. And to be able to step in and get not only his previous skills, but new skills we've never seen from him before and become so amazing this year has been unbelievable.
Well, here's the question. Will you use him as an endorser now? Because we know he's going to get paid on the field.
Right, right.
But so much of the other money, look how many commercials Peyton does,
yeah,
right?
Right.
Would you use Michael Vick to sell your product now? Because that's what it's going to become.
I would think it would take some more time.
Would you?
I would. Look, Ray Lewis is selling me deodorant.
Yeah, but
he was charged with double murder.
He killed the dude.
Well, the
only reason he got out is because he rolled over on the other guys.
I will say this. No one in recent sports history has ever had a better marketing comeback than Ray Lewis.
Okay.
A decade ago, he was charged with double murder.
Yeah.
He was in jail. He eventually rolled on the other two guys.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He pleaded guilty to obstruction of justice.
Mm-hmm.
But then his testimony was so bad that they couldn't convict the other two guys.
Exactly.
And then, in a very, very quiet story, and I'm not saying Ray Lewis is a murderer. Don't put words in my mouth.
I am.
Okay, you are. He paid off the families of the victims.
Right.
In a very Ray nice Lewis civil
yes.
settlement.
No kidding.
In a very nice civil settlement. Now, you can say it's out of the goodness of his heart.
Yeah, sure.
Or you could say there was blood on his hands and
he
felt guilty.
You say that. I'm not saying that.
I'm saying that no one
he's great.
Has
I love him.
Ever come back from that.
No,
I mean, who's
impressive.
Come back from
but
that?
You don't even hear complaint one about this guy.
Never.
All the money he's making, and all the Sports Illustrated covers, and all the commercials he gets, no one makes a peep. Because it was just people, Andrew. He only kills people.
He's
That's
marketed
he killed.
To children.
I know.
On the cover of video games. And again, I'm not saying he did it.
I'm also going to throw this out there, guys, and we don't have time to get into a big long Michael Vick discussion. But there's no comparison between killing people and killing dogs. And please don't try to misinterpret. That's what I'm going to say. But I say you can make the argument that Ray Lewis made a tragic mistake, a stupid mistake, did a terrible thing in an instant, as opposed to a guy like Michael Vick, who committed a heinous crime over and over again, hundreds of times over many, many years. And I think that you could make an argument that those two are not the same.
Sure, that's a valid
one. One is a worse guy than the other guy.
You could also make the argument that one of them actually paid for his crime, and the other
one
didn't.
Yeah, well, that's true.
And continues to, and is living an exemplary life at this point, as far as we know.
And I'm not arguing with any of that. I'm just saying when you go back to the Sissis question, which is what about endorsements? I mean, I think that's the type of thing that people are going to think. Is this the kind of guy that we're willing to give clean slate to?
Look,
and I think it will happen. I mean, especially if they continue the way they're going. I think if they win the Super Bowl, you're going to see nothing but Michael Vick commercials on the TV next year.
And for PetSmart.
Possibly for PetSmart.
Come on down.
There's a player about 8 years ago named Leonard Little. You know him, Ralph, right? Leonard Little's a defensive end, all-pro defensive end for the Rams. But in St. Louis, under the radar, I mean, no one else knows him. He played for the Rams.
Right.
About 10 years ago, got drunk coming home from a party. DUI, killed a woman.
Right.
All right. Hardly suspended, maybe 4 games, 5 games, 6 games, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Minimal. Came back, played football. Year or two later, got another DUI.
Mm.
No outcry. Because it was a different day and age. It was the late 90s. I know the late 90s seemed like 50 years ago.
It does, yeah.
And when people would come up to me, and I'm not defending Michael Vick, his crimes were heinous. But when women especially would come up to me, like you'd be sitting in the makeup chair, and the person doing your makeup would go on and on and on and on. Oh, Michael Vick, he should rot in hell. Put him in jail. Deport him. Right. Said, have you ever heard of Leonard Little? No, who is he? Tell the story. Oh, wow, that's bad. Right, because you never heard of it. And I'm not defending the killing of dogs, but it's just amazing. And the same thing with the Ray Lewis, how we forget that quickly with stuff.
We do. Yeah.
We didn't even hear the story to begin with in Leonard Little's case.
Especially the key to that whole thing is Michael Vick playing well.
Really,
absolutely.
Honestly. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He's playing off the charts. People want to get his autograph.
It becomes an asterisk to the story once he starts playing.
If he doesn't play well, that's the story for the rest of his life.
But you know what? To his credit, it's an amazing story. To his credit. He's picked himself back up.
Absolutely, he
does deserve credit for that.
I agree, and it's no different. I mean, we happen to be talking about crimes here, but it's no different than there were people a year and a half ago who said, "I'll never go see a Christian Bale movie again. That guy's a dick. Look at what he did. How could he be like that?" Nobody even thinks about that anymore. Now it's like, "Oh my God, this guy's a great actor. He's Batman." You know what I mean? You just forget. You forget about stuff. You move on because you've got other things in your life than worrying about grudges that you're trying to keep from years ago.
Hi, Kobe.
Yeah, totally. Really? Great example. Yeah, people never even think about it anymore.
No, they haven't moved on maybe in other towns, and he hears that on the road, but we've moved on here.
Roethlisberger? I mean, there's a litany of professional athletes who have gotten in trouble either with aggressive acts towards women or violence or something like that. I mean, that's the nature of the beast in a lot of ways with these athletes.
This is not an exemplary group.
No.
We're not either. I'll tell you this, though. When Roethlisberger's nose was broken a couple of weeks ago, my phone blew up. From friends, some of them in the business, some not, saying, hey, finally gets what he deserves. Look at that nose. Look at that sick. There are women high-fiving in Pittsburgh bars right now.
Right.
I think you're right. All right. Unfortunately, we are almost out of time.
Oh,
here.
Come on. Let's talk more sports.
I know. Well, we could blow off what we had next and keep Andrew another one if you want.
Well, I know. It's going to be pretty sweet.
I like some of the gifts in here, by the way.
Yeah, we can't talk about that.
I think we're going to have to. I think we're going to have to say goodbye to this. I'm sorry to say,
so bad.
You need to listen to him on ESPN Radio, watch him on the Red Zone Direct TV, and of course, you can catch him on the Twitter at Andrew Siciliano. That's the name. Thanks for all the time you gave us over the year, man. We always enjoy having you, and you're the best, dude.
Guys, enjoy Kwanzaa.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show, the final Kevin and Bean Show for 2010. Coming up in about 20 minutes or so, we're going to count down the top 10 moments with. These are the verbal disasters that we're all responsible for throughout the year. So we'll count down the best of those in just a few minutes. You know, Kevin, I was thinking since this is the last time we're going to be on the air this year, we did a lot of Wheel of Bad Animal voices. But there's a lot of them that are on the wheel that we never really landed on.
And there's a ton of them.
They can't carry over forever. I think it may be, you know, since it's the last show, it may be clearance time. It may be everything must go, go, go. I think we need to spin the wheel and hit them all and just clear the deck. Get it over with.
Oh.
Talk to all of the bad animals?
Really?
Why not? Why not?
All right.
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's going to land?
Oh, no.
It's going to be pretty bad, but Kevin and me don't care, so we'll do it anyway. It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
So we'll start 2011 with all new animals on the wheel, but in the meantime, go ahead and spin it up and let's see who our first interview is going to be.
All right. The first one is the Renegade Kangaroo. The Renegade Kangaroo.
How's it going, mate?
It's going great. What are you up to, Renegade Kangaroo?
I'm just hanging out here with the other animals from the wheel.
What makes you a renegade?
I play by my own rules.
You do?
Yeah, I don't cotton anyone telling me what to do.
I see. Okay.
So sometimes I'll hop on one foot.
Uh-huh.
Or backwards.
Right.
Yeah.
You can never tell.
It's pretty unpredictable.
Yeah.
All right, now, before we spin the wheel again, are you at some sort of a holiday gathering? The other bad animals are there with you?
Really? Come on!
What? I'm just asking.
Come on, though!
So you want to do the whole thing by yourself?
No, I'm asking if that's what's happening, or do we have to pick up another line?
No,
all here at a holiday gathering for all the animals on the wheel.
It's a party!
Which would have been a surprise if you hadn't said you were going to talk to all the animals at once when you started the bit.
I didn't realize that. I'm sorry. I guess I should have come to the meeting.
Hey, it landed on the tweeting Ugandan gorilla.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm happy to hand it over.
Would you mind? He's there? What are the chances?
Yes, is this the Ugandan chimp?
It's the tweeting Ugandan gorilla.
What is your Twitter name?
At Clyde Tumball.
Hey, that's me. That's my name.
Blocked!
All right. Just spin the wheel again here.
Blocked!
All right. We got it.
Blocked!
We got
it.
Hey, it landed on the female snail with a penis head.
Yes. You have a penis head on your... what's going on with that?
Yes. One dickhead talk to another.
Oh, wow. That's all right. Brew.
Good.
All right. Let's spin the wheel again here.
It's the Japanese attack bear.
Hey!
Oh. Hey, Japanese attack bear.
Now, we've never landed on this one before, partly because we've always thought, aren't all bears attack bears?
Hey! Yes, all bears attack bears.
But you're from Japan.
But I am from Japanese.
This must be quite a party you guys are all at.
It's so much fun. Yes.
Are you all at a party?
Yes, we are at a holiday gathering for all the animals on the wheel.
It landed on the Australian Fat Camp Kookaburra bird.
Sorry, mate. I already used that accent.
Okay. All right. That's all right. Just
read it again.
It's the Dick Van Dyke rescuing porpoises.
So, can you tell us the story? How did you happen to save the life of the great actor Dick Van Dyke?
I'm a big fan of Mary Poppins.
Uh-huh, right?
Wait, it.
You and watch I saw TV? Dick on the surfboard.
Uh-huh.
Right.
And I said, you need help, Dick? And Dick said yes. And I just love Dick.
Right. You do. You love Dick.
So I pushed Dick into the shore.
Right. Okay.
I love pushing Dick in.
Right.
Okay. Oh, all right. Right. I think we've heard enough. Yeah.
I was glad to get him saved.
Spin the wheel. All right.
Hey, it's Merlin the iPad using Dolphin.
I just did the Dolphin.
Same voice. Sorry.
It's a mistake again.
God damn it.
One last one.
Oh, look. We're out of time.
No. It's the human-faced lamb in heaven.
Oh, the human-faced lamb in heaven. God.
That's great news.
Oh, you're so sad. Are you okay? You sound so sad. Human-faced lamb in heaven.
I'm so glad I'm dead.
Oh, that's sad. How come?
So I don't have to listen to this shit any longer.
How dare you?
106.7 K-Rock is
K. Merry Christmas, man.
K-R-O-Q at
the... You should have hit the guy up. Yeah, yeah.
It's
right near the beach. Blow the conch shell.
106.7...
Drinking it right straight.
Coconut.
It's K-Rock.
Conch shell in the head.
And it's 8:56.
Chicken head out the window.
You're listening to Kevin DeVito. By the way, hearing from some very angry Andrew Siciliano fans that we booted the man out of the studio so we could talk to the human-faced lamb in heaven. But
hey,
what are you going to do?
Hey, that's what I said. I said, let's keep him. But
what
no,
are you going to do?
No. No,
it's our last show. Everything was go, go, go.
You not only have to jump off the cliff, you have to rush and run to get to the edge of the cliff
but
before you jump off.
But we did it well. And that's what's important. Thing.
I'm so glad this year's over. You have no idea.
Ralph, I know we're going to hang out a lot together at Sundance in Utah in January. I know we got that already planned, but let's hang out at Tron tonight. Let's go see Tron tonight. What do you think?
Time for the show, Biz. Here's Ralph.
You're more than welcome to join me tonight at Tron.
Thank you, Ralph. I appreciate that.
The only way to shut Bean up is to call him when he says he's going to go and do anything, because in reality, he will not go and do anything.
Right. So you say,
so,
okay.
So we know we're safe. Yeah, exactly.
And then he won't be there.
Tonight, in 3D, on the IMAX screen, it is Tron Legacy. This is a sequel I've been waiting almost 30 years for.
I wouldn't sit next to Ralph. Let me just say that.
If you do, bring a rain poncho.
That's what I'm saying.
That's all I'm saying.
There might be some problems.
It's tonight in Irvine. I've got 3 pairs of passes to give away to 3 lucky callers. First 3 callers who get through at 1-800-520-1067. Call right now. And for the rest of you who don't win, Tron Legacy is in theaters everywhere this Friday, December the 17th. But it may not be in 3D and IMAX the way I'm going to see it this evening. I'm just saying. Just say. remember earlier in the week we talked about Patton Oswalt and his very kind gesture of auctioning off his Carvel free ice cream card
for life.
It's only 75 years, Kevin.
You
only get free ice cream for 75 years. It's not really for life. It's for 75.
Right, but
years.
By the time
you live another 76 years, then you got to start paying for your ice cream again, which would be a bitch because by that time it'll probably be like $100 an ounce. Or
That's
something.
True.
Anyway, it is for free ice cream, basically for life. You get $25 worth of ice cream a week to eat.
It's not much.
On Carvel.
All right.
It's not much.
Only 75 people in the world have this special Carvel black card.
That's awesome.
So he is auctioning his off. He got an agreement from Carvel to transfer the card into the winner's name, and all the proceeds were going to help the L.A. Food Bank, which is a very worthy cause. They are the L.A. Regional Food Bank giving up food to a lot of people who suffer from hunger here in the Southern California area. So anyway, the auction was over, and we just heard from L.A. Food Bank, and they said it sold for $12,600.
Wow! That's great.
That is great. It's a great cause, and I'm glad they raised that so much money.
That's cool.
So the county,
that's way more than the ice cream is that the person will ever get in his life, right?
I don't know.
I doubt it.
75 years worth of ice cream. You know what's it cost you? $4 or $5 to get a...
Yeah, could add up, I guess.
Could add up. Anyway, congratulations to those guys. Very cool. We talked about Twitter earlier today. So it's only fair, I guess, to give some love to...
Can't find my
What's
story
happening right now, Ralph.
I might have to shift gears here. I'm sorry.
Right.
Let's shift gears to Courtney Love's story, which is fantastic.
I didn't get as much out of that Twitter story as I hoped.
She is dating a guy named Henry Alsop.
Okay, he's crazy. He must be.
I don't know what he's thinking, but he is related to Camilla Parker Bowles. He's the godson of Camilla Parker Bowles. In fact, he is going to become a lord. He's British. He's going to become a lord.
Okay.
Friends say they're talking marriage, which means if they should get married, Courtney Love would become Lady Courtney Love.
No.
And she would be a member
of the royal
British
family?
Aristocracy.
Oh, oh, come on.
In the UK.
Are you kidding?
Should they wed? Lady Courtney Love presenting.
Awesome.
How great would that be?
That's awesome because we know what they have in store.
I just want her to be at the royal wedding. I just wanted to get married her quick enough so that she can show up at the royal wedding.
Hey, Kate, show me your bush. Yeah. I love Kate Bush.
She will be excluded from all official functions, let's face it.
Oh, wouldn't that be the best thing ever?
That's hilarious.
Yeah. Excluded from royal wedding night.
No, I'm guessing they'll do a background check and that'll never clear.
Speaking of royalty, Olivia Wilde.
Oh, yes, my God. Yes. She's, the mostest.
She's married to an Italian prince.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So?
Tal Ruspoli.
What does he have that we don't?
Well, everything. Oh, he's rich and he's royal and he's handsome.
He's married to Olivia Wilde.
He's married to Olivia Wilde.
All right, it's a lot.
She says when they go to a dinner party, they never sit together. They make a point of sitting at different tables or at different ends of the table at any dinner party so they have something to talk about when they get home. They like to compare their evenings and talk about the people at the party through their own experiences. Not having the same conversation.
That is a lie.
That's what they do.
That's a lie.
Seems like a lot of work, doesn't it?
That's just not true. They're not getting along. They don't like each other, so they sit at the opposite end of the table.
No, they like to have
somebody
different
call
experiences
them on it.
So they can compare experiences at the end of the night when they go to a party. They spend the whole night apart, and then they come together at the end, and they compare notes.
It sounds like it would be a great idea.
It is a great
idea. Because no one would do it.
I know that I'm setting myself up for hate here, as usual, but Donna will not sit with me.
Well, I don't blame her. That's
a very different situation.
And she says because we already know each other and talk to each other a lot, we should talk to other people
but
while they're spread it around.
That's
a
not very really different. The situation.
Right. That's what she says.
She doesn't want to sit by you.
She says that's what she tells me, but then she usually leaves with some guy. So I don't know what the message is there. But
I found my internet story that I was looking for.
All right.
We talked about Twitter earlier in the Showbiz Beats, and now is a story from Google. They've released their list of the top 5 Googled celebrities of 2010.
Are they all hot chicks?
Year-end list. They are not all hot chicks.
Oh, wow.
You'd be surprised by a couple of them, I think.
Okay.
Number 5 on the list, most Googled this year. Star most Googled. I think you'll be shocked.
The band OK Go.
OK Go, yes. Congratulations. Moving on. Number 4.
I don't know.
Eminem was 5th.
Okay. That makes sense.
4th was Kim Kardashian.
Glendale.
Yeah.
Selena Gomez was 3rd.
Really?
Above Kim Kardashian.
Wow.
2nd was Katy Perry.
Sure. Okay.
And number 1, as you might imagine, Justin Bieber. He was the number 1 trended in Twitter and also the number 1 Googled this year. So
I didn't think that is a surprising list that Lady Gaga is behind Selena Gomez.
I'll tell you that.
I think your Bieber
thing went. I thought was interesting.
How do you think that? Well, that went.
I think. I think I have destroyed the Bieberverse.
Yeah.
I think I rule. I have impeded him on every level.
It was a good attempt. It was.
I sent that little kid after him at that laser tag parlor, and that was really the extent of it. That's his best.
It was a worthwhile venture.
Thank you.
Didn't work.
Take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Rodney Bingenheimer, legendary DJ here at our flagship
station. We have a winner, believe it or not.
KROQ-FM Los Angeles. He celebrates his birthday today. Rodney, how are you going to celebrate your birthday?
As the mayor of Hollywood, I do hereby proclaim this Rodney Bingenheimer Day in Hollywood.
You got 400 Rodney Bingenheimer drops.
You play something from somebody else.
I ask for one, and I get Johnny Grant, the dead mayor of Hollywood. All I wanted
but
was
it's Rodney Day.
But it doesn't.
That made sense.
It could have made no sense whatsoever. I was hoping it would make no sense whatsoever, but I wasn't expecting someone else.
106.7 Carol Q. That's Tattoo. Those two girls wear the schoolgirl uniforms that kiss each other whenever they play.
Right.
You know, they were on Late Night with Jamie Kimborn.
Yeah.
Jamie Kimborn.
That what does he have in his mouth?
That was in his I don't have teeth phase.
You don't want to know what he has in his mouth.
Jamie Kimborn.
That'd be amazing, wouldn't it? You're so gay.
Oh, stop.
Thank God.
Don Johnson, 61 years
old. Yeah.
Yeah. Stuart Townsend turns 38.
Yeah, I'm glad you dig me.
You can't stop playing them.
That's what she said. Ooh.
Adam Brody is 31 years old.
I drink your milkshake.
And Flo Rida celebrates his 30th birthday today.
Don't forget to rock the vote this Tuesday. Okay. Get there early. And
we've got
to do something. Black president. It's up to you. And me and all of us. Black president. 18 to vote. Take some action. I hope you all get out there.
don't know yet whether I am looking forward to this bit or not.
I know I'm not. I can tell you that.
Come on, you should all be looking forward to this.
I can tell you I'm not looking forward to this.
This is our final Kevin and Bean show for 2010. And all this week we've been counting down our top tens of things on the show. Top 10 Omar intros, top 10 sound bites that we play on the show, top 10 internet roundup videos. You can find all of these at kevinandbean.com. And the new one that we're going to do right now is the top 10 moments with. Kevin, explain to the listeners what a moment with entails.
Well, it's when you try to say something and then it goes horribly wrong. And what you say is just a disaster. You trip over yourself. You can't use the English language. You stutter. You say words wrong, and then you get lost. And then your head. You
and
start.
And then you panic.
Yeah, then you panic.
It's worse.
It's a brain fart.
And everybody has them, but not everybody has them in a situation where every word out of their mouth is being recorded and can then be used against you. And that's what we're counting down here is the top 10 moments with on the Kevin and Bean Show for 2010. Psycho Mike, you were the curator this year. What'd you come up with?
Yes, I was. Kevin starts things off with number 10. This is a great one because it's a simple man trying to express a very complex idea.
Can I just ask one question before we start? Are they all me?
No.
Okay, no. Okay.
You do appear most frequently on the list, but I think people are going to be surprised with the results. This is a Kevin with multi-syllabic words. It always goes well.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
With a brand new album.
It's kind of like a Jamaican feel to it. Nice. I feel like I'm in Nassau kicking back with a red stripe.
She's not a phrasing Scientologist, is she?
That was a moment with Kevin.
What were you going for there?
Scientist.
Phrasing. Oh, you were going for scientist.
Oh.
Okay.
Which doesn't make
which
sense
Which would
either.
Suck even if you got to move it off correctly.
Even if I said it right, it was dumb.
Now,
but then I said Scientologist.
Bean's crazy in that he's a very eloquent guy, but sometimes he struggles with words no matter how simple they are. He just has these words he can't get through, and that's what happens this time.
And now, a moment with Bean.
He's the guy who wrote the Zombie Survival Guide and also the updated Zombie Survival Guide. Now this is where my synapse broke down.
We will play this tape sometime in the future.
That was a moment with Bean.
Kevin,
no idea what I was going for there.
Yeah. Kevin returns to our list.
Yes!
At number 8. Pretty sure ears hear, eyes see, noses smell. Here you go, Kevin.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
Because there's something about it that makes you
enjoy
it.
I'm going to turn it down just to make sure people can't see what I'm listening to. You know, they can't hear it if they pull up to the stoplight or whatever.
That was a moment with Kevin.
Ralph's usually smooth as silk. This is his first appearance on the list. And like I said, he's usually very smooth. Usually, but not always.
And now, a moment with Ralph.
Definitely.
I mean, she has an amazing career, right?
A national platform to show off an outworldly charisma and talent.
That was a moment.
I don't remember that one. That's good. What number are we up to? I'm having trouble keeping track.
This is number 6.
Number 6.
This is number 6, and, you know, sometimes you try to express a figure of speech and it doesn't go too well, Kevin.
Again?
Mm-hmm.
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
How can he think we're fun to listen to?
I know!
We insult him from the start to the beginning!
That was a long time with Kevin.
All the way from the start to the beginning.
That is not as long as I had intended to say.
We continue on with our friend Kevin at number 5.
Number 5!
When you have an A-list star like Denzel Washington on your show.
What did I do with Denzel?
You always got to make sure that you really bring your A-game.
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
So here's a clip, as we wait for Denzel, of him talking to the person who's in charge of, you know, who is she? What do you call her? What's the name for her?
That was a moment with Kevin.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
He wasn't on the phone yet, though, in my own defense.
I hope he was. I hope he was sitting there listening, and he's like, I'm going to talk to these guys.
He would have hung up if he heard that.
How much would you have paid, Kevin, for somebody to give you the word dispatcher?
Here's the thing. I knew that dispatcher was it, and I knew that most of you knew it.
Yeah.
But we've gotten to the point now where it's funnier for them just to watch me like I'm in a
flounder.
Cage.
Yep.
And all of
and
you
they
listening.
They know I won't get it.
All of you listening, that happens to all of us, where the word's on the tip of your tongue and you just can't get it out.
Yes.
But like being said at the beginning of this break, you're not in a job where everybody's listening to every word that you say.
I can hear this music every time I talk.
This one's very recent. This is also Kevin at
number 4.
This one's great because Kevin combines shocking levels of enthusiasm with failure, and it's awesome. Here we go.
And now, it's time for a moment with Kevin.
You know, I don't even feel crappy. I feel pretty good.
Good. You slept until 8. That's why.
Yeah. So.
I need to do the Dave plan next time.
What?
I need to do the Dave plan next time.
I'm not drunk.
That was a moment with Kevin.
That was just on Monday.
Yeah.
That was this week.
Yeah.
Even the second time you said it, by the way, it sounded like you were still having problems with it.
Look, what do you want me to say?
Number three is our man Bean.
Yes.
Now, number three!
He loves beautiful girls, especially Asian girls.
Yes.
And sure sometimes do. Maybe he gets so worked up over them he can't pronounce their names. In this case, with Ariane Celeste.
And now, a moment with Bean.
Well, that's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, you didn't mention Ariane. Well, <sorry. laughs>
That was a moment with Bean.
I forgot about that one.
That one made the top three because it's just short and sweet.
That is good.
Mr. Bean is at number two as well.
Number two!
Wow.
Keeping the theme of describing Asian women alive, we were talking about Wing, our favorite singer.
Sure.
And I believe we were talking about her most recent Christmas CD. And Bean was trying to put into perspective just how bad a singer she was, and this happened.
And now, a moment with Bean.
But here's the thing. She's a terrible singer, and she's a terrible style in the way she, much like his sentence.
That was a moment with me.
By the way, you were trying to describe the same thing I was with the scientist. That's phraseology right. Or whatever it is that word is.
We were both trying to explain the same thing and failing.
You know how some people...
We just made your head explode.
What is the word?
What?
Is it phrasing?
Her phrasing?
Yeah. Is that what we're
her
trying to...
Her pacing, her timing, her style. I understand. There's a lot of things you can say.
Right.
You guys say none of them.
Right.
And I think it's like when you're talking about Wing, maybe it's like how the Lakers play down to their competition when they play really bad teams. You hear such horrible singing. You guys just have brain farts all the time. Now, it was hard for that one that we just heard not to be number one.
Yeah.
But Lisa May, you take home the crown this year.
Yes!
For what reason?
This is the first.
It's not me!
So Kevin is not in the top three.
It isn't me!
Yeah. 2 years in a row, Kevin appears most frequently, but he does not take home the crown of number one. Now,
so
Lisa...
Happy.
She takes home number one this year because she somehow dismantles all the laws of sound. They have not invented software advanced enough yet to manipulate sound in the way that Lisa does with her pretty mouth. In our number one moment with of 2010, Miss Lisa May, please appreciate.
And now, a moment with Lisa May.
We'd be funnier if they offer up the first name.
What's his first name?
That was a moment with Lisa May.
It really is like a bad edit.
It sounds like a bad edit, but it wasn't edited.
I did that all by myself.
And I also, I think that one gets extra points because Lisa, you know, is angry at us.
Yeah. You know what I mean.
No, we don't know what you mean because you said that for a first name.
It would almost be impossible for you to duplicate that. Like, I don't know that you can make your mouth make those sounds again on purpose.
I don't think I could. I can't really skip like that.
No. So for that, Lisa May, you take home the crown.
Well done, everybody.
Well done. I know you've been trying to avoid it as long as you can, Kevin, but when we come back after vacation, it's going to be 2011, which means we're going to be full bore politics for the 2012 election. You're not going to be able to. It's going to be, the election is going to be next year by that point, and you're not going to be able to get away from it.
But it'll be a year from November.
So that doesn't matter. It's 2011. The election is 2012.
No.
That's all you're going to be hearing
about.
That's
not what I'm going to be hearing about.
Well, I think you are because now everybody's being talked about. You heard Donald Trump is being talked about. Now there's a Facebook push to make Gene Simmons from KISS president in 2012. A guy has started a Facebook group that is proving to be pretty popular. I am making a push for the one and only Gene Simmons to be elected president of the United States in 2012. And we thought, well, that sounds crazy, but you know what? The dude's super successful at everything he does. Maybe this is for him.
But
I don't know.
Being you would know more than I, born in Israel.
Right. Yeah, there's
That's true.
Isn't that a small constitutional hurdle to get over? Yeah, but look, has Gene Simmons ever let that stop him before?
No, I guess not.
Let's find out what's going on with the demon from KISS. We've got him on the line right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Gene.
If I were in jail, I would make love to both of you. You're handsome and powerful men, and I appreciate that about you. And well, Lisa May?
Yes.
Don't think I have forgotten about you, my sweet.
I'm sure you have.
Okay, if you have.
My auburn-frosted beauty.
She's good if you forget about her, actually.
That's okay. Yeah, I'm sure you have other things to think about.
Very funny. Oh, your sarcasm is just oozing through the phone.
Uh-huh. First, we have to ask you, what do you consider it an honor or just a goof? Or what do you think about this guy who's got the Facebook page up trying to get you to be the chief executive of America?
Well, like you pointed out, I obviously couldn't be the president of the United States, the highest ranking officer in the United States, because I was born in a foreign land. But I think I would be a good president.
I think I would like that there would be strippers in the White House.
And I've oftentimes thought about if I were to be president and my policies and what I'd do to change this country. I do think that more so than any other time in modern history, our country is in need of someone who has some radical ideas to really change things around.
Well, look, I'm all for a businessman. I'm all for a guy who understands deficit reduction to get in there. I mean, you're a guy who has always, you know, figured out a way to make money. I mean, you know, your band is one of the most successful in history.
That's right. We're the most marketed band on the planet. And like you said, when you think about the policies of the United States of America right now in the current day, the first thing that sticks in my head is finance. By the way, Lisa May, speaking of sticking things in your head.
Oh, wow. I see where you're going. Okay.
You know, you can't say stuff like that if you actually end up being a candidate for office, right? That's the type of thing that people then use against you.
I know. If I were to talk more seriously, though, I would think about homeland defense. We just simply can't allow certain countries, especially in the Middle East, North Korea comes to mind, to get their hands on independently targeted re-entry vehicle missiles, because they could be so damaging to the world as a whole if one of these crazy dictators were to get their hands on some missiles. Okay. Lisa May, I've got my hand on a missile right now. It's a creamy one.
Okay.
I thought you were going to go with re-entry.
You can't.
I'm a little surprised.
How about that? He went in a different direction.
Establishing my cabinet, I'd want to make sure that it was open to pretty much anybody, not these career politicians. I would want my cabinet to reflect the population of the United States, and like I said, I'd want to make sure it was open to anyone. Lisa May, speaking of open cabinets, I want to make sure
really?
Your sausage cabinet's wide open.
Oh,
really? God. Really? You're going with sausage cabinet? Really?
I mean,
that's not even trying.
And I'm,
come on now.
That's not even trying.
Really?
My vice presidential candidate, Omar, really liked that one. I'll have you know, even though I am a conservative man, I spend a lot of time in Israel, I'm personal friends with Benjamin Netanyahu, I'm not an ideologue. And I wouldn't be afraid to clear away some of the residual Bush policies.
Yes. All right, we got to go.
Uh-huh.
We got to go. Thanks for talking to us today, Gene.
I want to talk about my firm caucus and stimulus package.
All right. I'm sorry, we're out of time, Mr. President.
You'll have some time next year.
It happens Thursday night at midnight. So if you want to be amongst the first people in America to see Tron Legacy, you want to see the special midnight show, and it's at the El Capitan Theater in Hollywood, which is, as you know, the Disney flagship theater. I mean, they own that theater, and that's where they do all their big opens for all their big movies.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool theater.
Beautiful theater.
Very nice.
It's gorgeous, and it's a great place with the state-of-the-art sound and visuals. So if you'd like to go to that Thursday night midnight screening,
I do have some passes to give away for that.
Okay.
Would you like to go?
Yes.
He asked rhetorically.
Oh.
I forget how many I have, though. Can someone in the other room yell in Kevin's ear?
How many?
We have two pair. I have two pair. So first two callers right now, 1-800-520-1067, will get a pair of tickets to the very special Kevin and Beaning midnight screening. Kevin and Beaning? Kevin and Bean midnight screening of Tron Legacy at the El Capitan Theater in Hollywood. So please enjoy.
That would be great.
It would be great.
Note to the people in the other room, you don't have to yell in my ear. That really hurts.
I
can hear quite loudly.
I like that. That's good.
Hey, David Hasselhoff is in the news. You know, of course, he lost his reality show.
Yeah.
They gave it a good run, though.
They did. They had two episodes in one night, back to back.
And that's it.
And we wondered what he was going to do, and I told you he was going to be a judge over there on Britain's Got Talent.
This is a mess.
He's going to be making a buck. You know, he's currently playing Captain Hook in the stage version of Peter Pan over there in England.
I did not know that.
Yes.
No. Wow.
There was a photo of him outside the theater dressed as Captain Hook sitting on the hood of Kit the Car. I kid you not.
I guarantee you, this is the first thing I heard about this story, that he wears his Captain Hook outfit all day everywhere he goes.
I bet he probably does.
That's so him.
Well, turns out he still has it, whatever it may be. I'm guessing a drinking problem is what it is. He's got two girlfriends.
What?
He has two different girlfriends on different sides of the world.
Oh, all right.
Now, keep in mind,
this is
Hasselhoff telling you this story.
Okay.
David claims he is still quite the player. He says he's romancing two women currently. Only David would say, I'm romancing two ladies.
Of course.
Yeah.
on two different sides of the world.
Don't most guys go out of their way to try and hide that fact?
One gal lives in San Francisco, the other lady's in Paris, and it's caused a few issues.
Wow.
Yes, the ladies do get jealous of one another, but I just try to be honest and treat them both with respect.
Let the romance begin.
Wow.
David.
So Dave's bragging that he's nailing two broads on different sides of the planet.
He's so pathetic.
He's the best.
But pathetic.
Oh, I wish David a very drunk Christmas.
He's a douche.
I guess we all do.
Yeah.
Are Kristen Stewart and Rob Pattinson getting sick of each other?
I don't know how they couldn't be.
Star Magazine says that the relationship is starting to wane and they're getting on each other's nerves because they have moved in together.
Oh, really?
Wow. And so while they're playing house, they're discovering, that's the thing, you move in with somebody, it's a whole different kettle of fish than just dating someone. And apparently they are really grating on each other's nerves, and they're sick of each other. Well, now you know how we feel.
Let the romance begin.
Rob Pattinson.
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, Kristen Stewart just seems like so much fun, though.
That's
just
true.
Just seems like it's a party every time she's around.
She probably wakes you up in the middle of the night with a new joke, and she's like always doing silly voices and dancing around the house.
I just picture you wake up, and she's in the living room on a unicycle wearing clown makeup. Throwing the confetti.
It's too much, right? It's like living with Jim Carrey.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Oh,
it's constant hilarity.
Dial it down once in a while,
Let me
Kristen.
Catch my breath.
Laughing too hard being around you.
It only takes so much of your strong personality.
You know, in the morning she's up making Prozac omelets and just sitting there like...
crying?
Yeah.
I do picture her
she's got a knife to her own
night.
Throat while she's cooking, just waiting for the urge.
Eye makeup all smeared on her face. She's smoking and crying. I do picture that a lot.
Yeah. From both of them.
Speaking of relationships, shocking news came out yesterday that Scarlett Johansson and Ryan Reynolds are calling it quits.
Let the romance begin.
No, let the romance end.
Oh.
They've been married for 2 years, and they released a statement yesterday saying they are ending our marriage, but they plan to leave the relationship with love and kindness. Because apparently there was none of that in the relationship, so as they're leaving, as they're walking out, they're going to pick some up. It's like those gift bags you get at the end of a really high-end party or something. On your way out, you get
then
a little
you go,
something.
Hey,
a little love and
you're
kindness.
Pretty cool. You are too.
Yeah.
Let's split. All right.
Ryan Reynolds is going to do fine. He's never going to have any problems with the ladies. But at some point, it's going to hit him that he let Scarlett Johansson get away.
I don't think she'll have a problem either.
Yeah.
No.
And I think
be
the
fine.
First half of your sentence really is the key, is that Ryan Reynolds will...
He'll
go,
be fine.
He'll go on to score unbelievably hot women for the remainder of his life.
Yeah.
And after you bang Scarlett Johansson a lot, I could see her being easy to get over.
Yeah.
Yeah,
especially
maybe
when
so.
She starts singing... Probably sings a lot in the shower and around the house and everything. You're like, oh, no.
I'm willing to give it a shot, though. I don't know if I'm not convinced 100%.
You know? Here's the thing. Ryan Reynolds will always have that.
Yeah.
He's already got that notch on his gun belt.
True.
So, for us, we're like, oh, how could he possibly let her go? But he's moving on to some Victoria's Secret model, I promise
that's true.
You.
Yeah.
And every year, they'll be just a little younger.
And he's going to be the Green
Smart.
Lantern, man.
Oh.
So, unless the girl's yellow... He's going to have...
He's going to be cool.
He'll be cool.
No Asians. He can't date Asians.
No, he cannot.
Wow.
Lucy Liu. Yeah, Lucy Liu's out. He's off the list.
Kelly who?
Hulk Hogan and his girlfriend Jennifer McDaniels got married last night in Clearwater, Florida.
Let the romance begin.
Is this the one that sort of resembled his daughter?
Looks a lot like his
Doesn't
daughter.
Doesn't sort of resemble like a clone.
I think she's the same age as
it's
his daughter,
really
too.
Creepy.
It's wild. It was the typical Hulk Hogan wedding.
Which is what?
Some family member got into a fight with a photographer. Punches were thrown. The cops had to be called.
All right.
Ceremony had to be stalled while they sorted things out. Then they finished up the ceremony. So, you know, just a typical night in the Hogan household.
Sure.
So, Hulkster, what are your plans with your new bride? What do you have in mind?
Just going to finish up this steroid wedding cake, brother.
All right.
Admirable.
It was a try.
It was a try.
It was a stab.
Yeah. I'm not the go-to guy.
Right, we know, that's why.
It was a foul tip. He connected,
he
went over the backstop.
But he can still strike out.
Oh, can he?
That's a foul tip. He's got two strikes.
And Mariah Carey would like you to know that she's not gay.
Let the romance begin.
The pregnant wife of Nick Cannon felt obligated to announce that she's not a lesbian.
Good morning, Pato!
She has heard lots of rumors, she says, insinuating that she's a lesbian.
That's weird. That's weird.
She said there's nothing wrong with it, but she wants everyone to know that that's not the reality.
How charming and chubby.
No one really was saying anything about
it. I didn't hear that anywhere.
I don't hear anybody saying much of anything about Mariah Carey.
Yeah. That's sounds the problem. Fat. No one was saying anything.
That could be, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not lesbian. I'm not even kind of lesbian.
Okay. Hey, fatty! You are fat!
Let the romance begin.
All right. Okay. Wow. It really has been a clearinghouse today. You guys get all these sound bites out of your system.
I got a lot more.
I know you do.
Apparently we lose them if we don't use them. That's what's going on here.
They don't roll over?
No.
You don't roll, over minutes?
No.
No way. Not ever.
Captain Soundbites? Playing Soundbites? I want Soundbites. Got to go to you?
Pretty much. That's true.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday. Let's go to today's celebrity birthday, shall we?
Let the romance begin.
Okay, we've got that one, I think. That one
we didn't play it all year.
Cemented.
We didn't play it all year, so we have to really burn it.
Actor Don Johnson of Miami Vice fame.
Let the romance begin.
Most recently saw him in Machete. By the way, Machete didn't even make the top 10 of sound bites or anything.
I know. Well, yeah.
There were a lot of great ones to choose from this year.
Yeah, that's
Thanksgiving
BS,
made it, but not Machete.
BS.
Fail! Epic fail.
By the way, Don Johnson also very, very funny on the finale of Eastbound and Down.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
I did not catch the finale, sir.
Yeah, he was playing What's-His-Face as the star of his father.
He plays KP's dad, yeah.
All right.
Kenny Powers' dad, yeah.
Oh, good for you! 61 years old today. Stuart Townsend.
Power through, Ralph.
He's 38 years old today.
Adam, are the sands of time really running out?
Adam Brody's 31. Flo Rida.
That's provocative.
Flo Rida.
Okay.
Flo Rida's 30.
Oh, no, you can't use that language.
Yes.
You can't use... What makes you think you can use that language?
I'm so glad. You know how exhausted I get by this time of year. Just
oh, you
beaten
love it.
Down.
You oh, another good one. I don't know where you come up with them.
I'm Ralph Garman. Happy holidays, everybody.
Happy holidays.
I'm going to go have some eggnog. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph.
What do you want to do now?
Have a great time, people.
You too.
You can suck it.
Way to close it out, Kev. Way to come in and just shut them down.
Inspiring.
You're our closer.
Really
have
have
a great
see you
time,
again
people.
On the morning of January 3rd, 2011, back here on this same radio station for an all-new Kevin and Bean show.
Well, maybe. some of the radio stations may find something new under their stocking.
Depends on whether Casey had her finger on the button with the F-word of them.
I got it.
This may be all of our last days.
I don't know. Don't worry about it.
Got
it,
cranky
hey,
pants. Go have some
why not
bread.
Stick around for 40 minutes nonstop? Here we're coming up next, including the new one from Jimmy Eat World. Also, we got Offspring coming up and Nirvana, Social D, and the Silver Sun Pickups. All straight ahead, right on K-Rock.
Wow.